morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Just dumped a bunch of V8 juice all over myself. It's fairly viscous, so it doesn't come out real good. That's why I wear dark clothing. Yeah. Phone number, everybody, 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. If you have any home improvement questions, call us. I think now's the time to do that. I feel most house-friendly at this early hour. Dave Damashek is here.
Word.
He's buffed. He's scrubbed. He's got 6 hours of sleep under his belt, and he's looking good.
Thank you.
Rachel Perry. Rachel Perry is in New York for Fashion Week. We've talked about it before, but I just thought about it lately. How did fashion become so big, and especially, it seems like about the last 6 months? Now, it was always out there.
What?
It was always out there, but it was for the fashion people. We would see these designers, we would see these models. We just sort of looking at it like it was a snow globe. Now we're in. Kojo's doing a 20-minute fashion report on Entertainment Tonight. You know, when something, here's all I'm saying, when a year ago, even as little as a year ago, but certainly 5 years ago, when the Golden Globes or the Oscars would come out, Joan Rivers would do a little jag on somebody's dress, Mr. Blackwell would come out of his glory hole, see a shadow, make fun, write that down, that's a bit, make fun of someone's dress and then go back into it, and that was the end of it. Talk. Now, if you want deep cable, you might even find more talk on it. But on Entertainment Tonight and Extra and shows like this, they'd dedicate 3 minutes and then they'd get on to the Brad and J-Lo stories of the day. This now has taken over. Kojo does 40-minute reports. It's nothing but fashion. The fashion shows.
Who
all the celebrities
are there. Right.
Right.
Who wore that same dress the best.
Right. Yeah. Now, this is the other side. To me, this is the other side of NASCAR, and this is why I feel like I'm not a member of this society anymore. When I hear that NASCAR and pro wrestling, fake pro wrestling, is going through the roof, and then I hear that that fashion is the hottest thing ever, I realize I'm on the wrong planet. I don't
know. Carey, number one artist.
I don't know who to join. I don't know, join the fat rednecks on the left or the crazy queers on the right. I don't know where to go. I'm just here. Yes?
Yes.
How say you, Rachel Perry?
I think it's always been this way.
It's always been this big.
I think it's always been this big.
It's always been this big.
You're just paying
more attention. Hold on a second.
Now.
Hold on. No.
Because
you want to say that about NASCAR and anything else that's grown exponentially in the last few years?
That maybe.
Hold on, Rachel. Sorry for holding your feet to the fire, but you can't always think it's been this big by virtue of the fact that they never really talked about it on any of the entertainment shows, and now it's almost exclusively what they talk about.
Okay, yeah, no, that part. But I think that it's they only do that because they're looking for they have time to fill.
I know,
on
but
television
what,
programs
what were
we
the,
have time to fill,
but what
pages
were,
to fill,
what,
and magazines.
But what were the shows 5 years ago? Entertainment Tonight wasn't 4 minutes; it was still a 30-minute show.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I think there's just more of those shows now. Like, there's just way more celebrity culture television shows and magazines.
But they exist.
But they exist
purely to cover this nonsense.
I know. I agree. There's a whole bunch more that just follow in line with this stuff. But I'm talking about Entertainment Tonight. It's been around for 20 years.
Oh, right, yeah. They used to just show, hey, so-and-so has a new TV show coming up. Here's some scenes from it.
I don't know. I'm only 8 years old. I didn't watch Entertainment Tonight 20 years ago.
I'm just saying, it's you don't have to argue. It's grown. It's definitely grown. I just want to know why. I'm curious why Sunny Delight gets popular. You know what I mean? Who took a sip of this swill and went, oh, wow. Got to get me more of this. Is it coming a bigger size? When I was 8, I tasted Sunny Delight and spat it right into my nanny's face. A huge black nanny.
Ed's desk for us.
Sunny D. Because I'll tell you why. Those spectacular ads. I know it's a little off the point, but it was those great ads when Sunny the Light first came out. It was all the kids in the neighborhood raided the one house's fridge.
Yeah.
Like, hey, thanks for the Sunny D, yeah. Mrs. M.
Mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the coolest mom Sunny in town because she had the Sunny D in the fridge.
They would open the fridge and go, let's see here. Soda, juice, purple stuff. Oh, yeah, Sunny D. And I always thought,
awesome.
Even when I was 11, I would watch that commercial and I would go, at what point does mom stop buying the purple stuff? How much verbal abuse can she take from her own kids when she continues to buy the purple stuff, which is ignored and made fun of in the fridge next to the Sunny D?
You know what
yes.
this thing about Sunny D is it's not so much necessarily the flavor as it is the actual physical experience. It's like painful to drink Sunny Delight.
Well, that's my point. Here's how I know people are stupid. I've been compiling some research that NASCAR is, you know, grown a thousandfold in the last 5 years. Of course, I was worried when Maneater made it to number one many years ago. I was wondering about the nation's collective intellect. And then when Sunny D just keeps the stock just keeps going up every year, I realized people are stupid. And it's the same with the fashion stuff. People like to turn their nose up at this. It's easy to look down your nose. There's a lot of nose looking. It's easy to look down your nose at the big tads and the NASCAR and the wrestling and the monster trucks and all that sort of retardation. But what about the hoitier-toitier things like these fashion shows? I'd say they're just as vacant intellectually as the idiots that fill the stadiums at the monster truck show. They're just poser idiots. Same idiots.
Yeah, let me tell you. I've been to these fashion shows before, and I went yesterday and I was reminded of something that I wanted to talk about how embarrassing it is when you go to these things, that they leave little gift bags under the chairs for people. So, like, they're filled with all sorts of free crap, and some of them are really good and everything. This is so embarrassing that people do this. They will pillage the bags before you get to your seats. Like, people who come in first will open the bags and steal good stuff.
Yes.
Like, the expensive products. I'm like, are you kidding me right now that you are at a fashion show and you're stealing free crap?
So sad. So pathetic. Yes. Just because you're skinny and you have cool frames for your glasses doesn't mean you're smart. I say just as dumb as the NASCAR idiots. But in a worse way, they have pretension. Jillian Barbary called in a few minutes ago. I was just about to talk to her.
I saw her last night.
About skating with celebrities. You did.
Well, on the television.
Oh, on
I
the
saw
TV.
Her skating.
Yeah,
she
I
was
saw her.
Fantastic.
I saw her skating too. She somehow got her line cut off, or she hung up, or it's one of those LA cell phone things. So, Jillian, if you're calling, we're anxious to speak to you. I know it doesn't sound like it because I did 20 minutes on Sunny Delight while you were on hold. Got to be in the slap in the face to any celebrity. Purple stuff, soda. What kind of kid doesn't like the soda? Yeah, by the time I got to age 9, I was pretty burnt out on soda. Didn't
Cherry
want to
pop,
see it again.
No, Sunny D, yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about this culture that you're talking about with the obsession with the way the celebrities look at everything. It reached an all-time low last night. The Insider, Pat O'Brien's wonderful program, nightly program. Have you seen the thing about the anorexic twins? From Australia.
Yeah.
They've been covering them for months now. These two women, they have blonde, spiky hair. They weigh a combined 83 pounds. They're slowly dying, and they're covering it for entertainment purposes.
It's a disease,
well,
Dave.
Last night, yeah, it's awful, and they're covering it for entertainment. Last night, they took these two people who are withering away, starving themselves to death for a day of beauty. It was the most atrocious thing I've ever. Putting lipstick, these two skeletons laying there, spiking their hair up fashionably, and putting lipstick on them. Oh,
when,
my God.
When did, second obsession, when did we get obsessed with taking sort of down-and-out women and making them feel beautiful? How about we make them feel smart and get them a goddamn job? You know what I mean? She's 300 pounds. She has a junior high education. She has 26 kids. She lives in an apartment. She's on the dole. Let's take her out for a makeover. How about you take her out for some vocational training? Then she can make some money and buy herself some beauty cream. What happened to this? We're making chicks over all the time. And let me tell you, that's only for them because for guys, she's still 900 pounds, has 27 kids, and lives in the projects. The idea that she's got the kissing potion on and put some extensions on her hair brings us no closer to her.
To make yourself feel good about yourself.
Yeah, you feel good. That's right. When you feel good.
I feel good about myself.
They create a three-hour window that they might make it big in once they have the makeup before they get into the shower and wash it all out and return to their awful existence.
Then they become like the Wicked Witch. When they get hit with the water, they start melting when the water hits them. Well, another thing I wanted to talk about was I was watching the news this morning, and whenever there's a funeral, I always feel bad for the dignitaries that have to go. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's me just sort of foisting my own stuff on there. Like when one of my wife's friends gets married, it's always, oh, Christ, where is it now? They're out in Redlands. Which one is it? It's Tammy. I've never even heard you. Oh, we're close. You're close. I've known you for 9 years. I've never heard her name. Well, we used to hang out all. Okay, used to. Well, we're going. When is it? It's Sunday. We're in the playoffs here. Come, you're going. First off, how is it that your spouse, your better half, your girl, whoever, can't they have friends that are within a 30-mile radius of where you... How is it that they grew up here, but their friends all somehow got out to parts unknown? You have to get on an airplane to go to the thing. And then you never like them or anything, but you just have to go. And I feel that Bush has to do that with Coretta Scott King's funeral. He's got to go to the funeral. I know he's not excited about it. And if I were Bush, I would just have this thing. You know, Oprah's there. Great.
Oh, they showed Oprah yesterday touching Coretta Scott King's body. Do we need that?
No, we don't need it. But here's the thing. Bush needs to go, look, I'm going to go to this funeral. I don't want to go to this funeral. By the way, I don't even want Bush going to the funeral. Get to work is my thing. It's a weekday. You go on a Sunday. That's your day. Today's Tuesday. That's a work day. I'm not going to the funeral. I got a job. I'd love to be there, but I got a gig. Yes?
If I was the president, I would just find the guy that looks the most like me.
That's right.
And I think you need that exact same thing.
My doppelganger.
You need to hold a contest to find your doppelganger to go to your wife's friends' weddings and all the other functions.
Oh, yeah. Adam's going to meet with the affiliates this weekend. Wow. What a mensch. The real Adam is drunk beating his wife at home. Jillian?
Adam,
what's happening, my sister?
We had your beautiful wife on our show recently.
Yeah, I know. She tried to TiVo stuff and couldn't. I never was able to see it.
Well,
that's my point.
It's sort of like the story of my life. I tried to TiVo skating with celebrities, and I've yet to TiVo one episode. I don't own any
TiVille.
I love TiVo, and I've got Comedy Central and my Dave Chappelle stuff, but for some reason, skating with celebrities fell.
It's David LaChapelle, as we learned yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, is it? That's
now,
the photographer, yes.
Let me say this. I watched a show. I didn't have to TiVo it. I watched it in real time. And the competition is heating up.
Yes, it is.
Who's left?
Bruce and Christy are left.
Right. Swanson, Buffy.
Yeah.
The Vampire Slayer, the original.
But I say you're a shoo-in, Jillian.
I don't know. They're getting better. I mean, she skated really well last night.
I like how you talk like you don't know.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know. Sadly,
really it is
good.
A blur to me, Rachel. I don't remember.
It's how athletes do with retirement. They've decided at the beginning of the year, but when they get interviewed at the end of the year, well, we're going to have to convene with, what do you mean we? You already know. Yeah. Now, who else skated last night? Dave Coulier got voted out with Nancy Kerrigan.
Right. They were the other ones. Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
But Christy Swanson was looking good with her man.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say. I mean, she's made an improvement. I'm not just saying this to add intrigue and thus ratings, but
she has.
Jillian and her partner were the, far and away the best. They just were. They were just a cut above. He's obviously a professional, and she's done a lot of skating growing up, and it was going to be a cakewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Christy Swanson has stepped it up.
Yep.
And they looked good, and I think you guys tied in the scoring, right?
Yeah, we did. I think they beat us last week. So it's so hard. The judges are going by our individual improvement, and she improved tremendously. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was no, Hey, Bruce improved a lot, too.
But you still win in the end, though, right?
You never know. You see how things are changing, though, on the show.
It's true.
There was controversy. I don't know if you saw the end of the show, but Coulier was asked to leave his package, who had been drinking backstage. Most of the night became belligerent and refused to leave.
Oh, no.
Had to be escorted out by security. And then the package's posse got mixed up into it, and someone got hit with a cell phone.
Nancy Kerrigan used his package to kneecap Christy Swanson.
When I eventually get a posse, I'm going to just lay it out at the beginning. Look, let's get some real weapons. I don't want people getting bashed with cell phones here. That's not a weapon. It means to communicate. It's not a good weapon.
That was a good commercial, though, in the Super Bowl. That was a really good one.
Which one?
The one where they said the cell phone is used as, and it, at the very end, I think it said something device, like a...
Crime deterrent.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Crime deterrent, and he threw it in the guy's face, and it hit him in the head twice.
Well, I didn't even see that one. Which one was that?
It's so funny. I don't forget who the brand was, but it was basically
funny.
A cell phone you could use for all these things. It also was a crime deterrent. And the guy picks up the cell phone, throws it at
his friend.
Throws it at his friend's head, and because he goes, my phone's got iTunes. Mine's got email. Mine's got pictures. Mine's got. And he goes, mine's a crime deterrent. And the guy goes, are you kidding me? And he turns around, and he just throws it in his face and hits him in the head, like nails him. It's awesome.
I enjoyed. All of, and it's one of my new obsessions, all the disclaimers written on the bottom of the thing where the family of five pulls their Nissan out of the Pacific Ocean and drives up onto the land, and it says, do not attempt fantasy scenario. When they show, you know, the Tacoma truck rolling 35 times, bursting into flames, and then the guy gets in and drives away. It's another do not attempt, another closed course. I understand if a guy's swerving through traffic, maybe you say stunt driver, closed course, do not attempt. If the car sprouts wings like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and goes sailing over the thing and then falls asleep on a cloud, no need for the disclaimer. There's a Subaru commercial that they've been running the heck out of where the cars just ride along their front wheels all the way around because they're saying these cars all have front wheel drive, but we have four wheel drive. And all the cars are forward on the front wheels, just going along on the front wheels. Little disclaimer, do not attempt. If it is impossible, do they have to say do not attempt? If the car turns invisible like Wonder Woman's plane, do they have to have the little disclaimer that says don't try?
Or go ahead and try it.
Or go ahead and try. Knock yourself out, everybody. The car weighs 3,800 pounds. There's no way you'll be driving from here to work exclusively on the front wheels. Impossible. Go ahead. Do what you want. Have for your buddy sit on the hood. Go ahead. See if you can rock it up. Yeah. I'm just saying, I understand a few don't tries, but now every single car commercial, every single one says close course, do not attempt. If a minivan is driving at 45 miles an hour down a deserted stretch of highway on the way to Vegas, it says professional driver, do not attempt. What are we supposed to do with these cars? I mean, if you listen to every do not attempt, you could not drive on a mountain road, you couldn't drive on a straightaway, you couldn't change lanes, you couldn't do anything. I would assume at a certain point you're just going to have to drive, yes. Do not attempt.
Hey, Jillian.
But I love that they do the disclaimer because, you know, somewhere, someone out there is going to, you know, there's just some idiot who's going to do it.
Yeah.
Their society.
Like I said, if you're that stupid, so be it. I'm just saying, no need to put it on the stuff that is physically impossible to achieve. That's all.
That's all.
Barbary, what happened with Terry Bradshaw, your pal? Was he over at your place for your Super Bowl party or something? He refused to show up at the Super Bowl. They had all the Super Bowl MVPs, and he refused to show up because they weren't paying him enough.
Are you kidding me?
He's got to be in the top three of the richest Super Bowl MVPs, yes, wouldn't you think?
I know he does a lot of public speaking, sort of Bruce Jenner. They go and they do motivational speaking for corporations, and they talk about the youth sport and the analogy of sport and success.
Oh, there's a shocker.
But I don't know what his speaking fee is.
If you want your sales department to win a championship this year, then you'll all huddle around my three-part system.
Yeah. What's Bruce Jenner's message? This facility needs a facelift, not unlike the one I've received for the sixth time.
Well, how does... Yes, I watched the Super Bowl. I watched the beginning. They had the MVPs from every Super Bowl. It's amazing that there are eight guys out on that field who you'd go, what? No way. What's your name again?
Wow.
Chuck Howley.
Look, I follow football. I've never heard your name, much less Super Bowl MVP. Please, get out
of
here.
More, I'm going to beat the hell out of you.
That's right. If you keep insisting. If you keep showing me that fake ring. But, yes, Terry Bradshaw was an MVP one
twice.
Year, right? Twice, and he was not there.
Now, I had no idea.
But do they really
pay them?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
They offered him like $1,000 per diem or something, and he said, not enough, I need more.
I spoke to his assistant, Jeff Quinn, who Jillian knows.
I know Jeff.
And Jeff said that Terry just doesn't like crowds. That's why he didn't go.
Well, maybe he was having an attack or something, because I know he has depression and everything. But to me, you play through all the pain and the injuries and the snow, and you live. This is what you live for. So that one day, you know what you become like? You become like a grandfather who's up in the stands seeing your young grandson hit his first home run in Little League. I mean, to trot out onto the field wearing a suit without a limp, still walking at age 50, whatever.
Crowd filled with Steeler fans.
90% Steeler fan going insane as you come out on the field and convening with all the other, you know, in front on a show that's being watched by, you know, hundreds of millions of people around the world. I mean, is there a dollar amount you can put on that?
And I think that's what you were saying. I don't know if it was a personal. I know for a fact he does not like crowds, but I don't know. I think he would make an exception, or something like this.
That'd be nice.
Does he mind it at his speaking engagements?
Right.
Seems like he chose a tough gig.
Well, look, that's what booze is for, quite frankly. You have a couple of pops backstage with Lynn Swan. You know, a couple shots of Jaeger, you loosen up the tie and you head out there. And that's really what booze is for when you don't have to talk.
That's what we do every morning.
Yes, but we have to talk. That's the problem. Booze is for getting on stage when you don't have to talk. When you do have to talk, you end up going, I hear Pittsburgh knows how to party! And then you vomit all over the mic.
I didn't know that's the reason that he didn't show. I thought it was weird, but...
I'll just assume. I will assume it
as
some...
funny thing?
No. I know. That sounds just...
He says he doesn't like going to Super Bowls. He never goes. If he doesn't have to go, if he's not working it, he never goes to the Super Bowl.
It doesn't... But he has worked the last 10 or something, hasn't he? All right. Well, look. I'm not going to beat the guy up. It's his loss. You know, 20 years from now, I'm sure it would have been nice for him to go back and show his grandkids the tape of him coming out with all the greats and the crowd going insane with the Super Bowl rings and everything, especially in front of the partisan Pittsburgh crowd. All right, Jillian, God love you.
Well, thanks, Adam.
Skating with Celebrities, Monday nights, 8 o'clock.
I like that you're
Fox.
Intrigued. See, it's heating up now because
it really is.
She's getting good.
Everybody who's left is good, and it's no longer a cakewalk for Jillian Barber. Everyone's improving.
By the way, I like this. It's a nice weekly thing. You're calling in on our way.
I do, too.
Nice.
I just want to say one more thing. Jillian?
Yes.
The partner for Christy Swanson.
Oh, Lloyd. Uh-huh.
Lloyd. Lloyd is a mixed metaphor, this man. He's very masculine, yet he wears the two hoop pirate earrings. Both ears hooped.
And he's got the eyebrow earring, too, or I guess brow ring.
He does. I'm not as bothered by that as I am by the two dangly hoops on the dude. It's a weird look.
Well, because he's very testosterone-driven. He's kind of like a, you know... He's known in the sport for being a bit of a hothead.
Just like you, Adam, you should wear two big earrings, too.
You know, here's my whole policy. I don't do anything for myself. When it comes to apparel or accoutrements, or jewelry, anything, I only do it based on attracting the opposite sex. Otherwise, I would never shave. I would never brush my teeth. I wouldn't shower. I really would stop all things that had to do with hygiene. I would just walk out with a potato sack.
But for your wife and the sanity of your wife.
Well, what I do now that I'm not on the market is I'm basically in a sort of maintenance fashion coma. I'm just flatlining. I take a shower about every 2.5 days. I use a little soap, once in a while, and I shave about every third or fourth day.
Warmth is your main goal when you get dressed.
It's really comfort and speed now. But why is this guy... I'm saying this doesn't attract women, does it?
Well, I guess some women.
But not you, right?
No.
Women? I don't think that's what I don't think that's the prey he seeks.
He likes the fellas, you think?
No. He's married. He's married with two kids. Yeah.
I love that they announced that he's he lives his life 100 miles an hour. You know, they talk about how aggressive he is, and he takes it on the ice.
Yeah. Brings that same attitude to the ice. Look, if you have kids, you should have to have your earrings removed. That'd be weird. Little kids, point of view, POV, inside the cradle, looking over at mommy, seeing the two shiny things dangling from the ear, and then looking over to daddy, seeing the two dangling things hanging from the ear. Next thing you know, trying to breastfeed dad.
Confusing.
Trying to suck on dad's bosom. Yes? How say you? All right, let's say a hearty nay. Let's take a break. Rachel Berry in New York for Fashion Week. John Madden calling in. Jorge Garcia from Lost. Some Grammy talk. Big Tad. Oh, ton of show after this.
Hi, this is Dave Coulier. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And tell him Dave's package sent you.
Yeah. Well, Rachel Berry is in New York for Fashion Week. She's reporting to us from over there. Dave Damashek, straight from Cloud 10. Not now, not 9. Nay, 9. 9-9 if we were in Germany. 10.
Most
cloud
people
10.
Seem to just be carrying on with their lives as though the Steelers didn't win the Super Bowl.
So sad.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel bad for them that they missed the boat.
Yep.
I thought we weren't going to talk about this anymore.
That was your decision. You don't have to.
Something we were talking about yesterday, and I got a piece of good news on yesterday afternoon, was the folks from USAir called later on in the afternoon. We spoke to them yesterday, and they said I could design my own radio channel for their in-flight radio service. And
no.
Headway.
Yeah. Well, why not? Okay, here's what happened. I've done a lot of flying over the past few years. And the number one thing I like to do on a plane most time is sleep. Or at least, and I'd love for somebody to, you know, break this down, but on 5-hour, 6-hour flights, even if you don't want to sleep the entire flight, out of 6 hours, you'd probably like to get 2 hours of sleep in out of that. Seeing how your other 4 hours are just, you have a choice between eating bad food, feeling the kid kick the tray that's now become your back, which is more annoying than you ever would have imagined, or just, you know, watch Will and Grace with one of the earpieces screwed up, or King of Queens. Somehow they've decided on the airplane that we all love King of Queens and golf. Those are the two things that seem to surprise me. Whenever I'm on a plane, it's like, well, which do you love better, Mr. Carolla? Do you love golf or do you love King of Queens? It's like, it's Sunday. We're right in the middle of football season. You having a football? You have a package? No, it'll be golf. Ironically, golf is tough during the off season, but during football season, it makes it that much more ironic and that much worse.
And even if you like golf... It's from 2.5 years ago.
It's 2.5 years ago, and even if you like golf, you really shouldn't like watching it. It's one of those things where it's fun to go out to the links with your buddies, tie one on, smoke a few cigars, and have a good time. But just watching guys whose names you've never heard of before try to birdie a par five on the 16th fairway, it's ridiculous. Nothing in it. But anyway, the point is I like to sleep for at least 2 hours of my 6-hour flight. And there's nothing that can accommodate me because they don't have a channel. They have 14 channels. They have a country channel. They have a new wave channel. They have a western channel. They have like a NASCAR channel and a comedy channel. They have every channel but one dedicated for sleeping, which I argue is one thing that people want to do most on an airplane. So I called US Air and I decided to try to straighten it out for them. But let me just give you a quick reenactment of how it works. They have a classical channel, which is the closest they have to a sleeping channel. It's the classical music, and it works at the beginning. You just like that, and you just you let the days troubles just drift away. You're up on cloud 10 with Dave Damashek. You're starting to drift off. Now the mouth is open. Slight trickle. Slight dribble of saliva coming down the chin, but you don't care. The chair is tilted back. You finished your meal. You've dozed off. You're now in the third stage of REM, and it's going to be a beautiful flight. Wake me up when we get to the baggage claim. That's the last thing I think of. And then this blowhard enters.
That, of course, was Air on the G String from Johann Sebastian Bach's Orchestral Suite in D, scored for four-part string orchestra.
This
brief movement, gem of lyric melody.
Now one eye opens.
Counterpoint
to
the masterful orchestration.
Who's this blowhard in my head?
Of poignant inward
feeling. Is this a horrible dream?
For violin solo and piano arrangement.
Oh, when is this going to end?
German violinist August Wilhelm.
Where's the classical music? I was just listening to music. What happened?
Comfortably on the G
string. I'm not going to buy the goddamn CD. Just pump the music into my head. I'm trying to sleep.
Wilhelm.
Listen, I need a drink.
For the G
stewardess. Chop chop. Let's go. I'm awake now. I want to get drunk and I'm hungry again. Bring more of those hot cookies. Oh, here's the next song. All right. Now I'm goose-stepping up and down the aisle. All right, this is as close as they have to a sleeping channel, you understand? And all they want you to do is sleep on a plane, and they can't provide it. Well, I called U.S. Airlines, and I said, how say you? And they said, nay. And we argued for a while. And now they've realized the error in their ways. And they're going to let me design one of the 14 stations they have. And it's not like there's U.S., you know, a radio station. They just plug in, they pre-record, and they lay the stuff down. So I'll be recording it. And I think I'll just go very soft classical music, maybe a little babbling brook in the background, maybe a little waterfall, crickets.
You know, they would be smarter if they put subliminal messages in there for people to buy stuff.
That's
just
right.
Some really calm, sleepy music.
Yeah, just be like this way. Buy from the sky hole. Do not blow the plane up. Al-Qaeda, give it a break. Allah's gone. Jesus has taken his place. Now relax. Listen, we got porn and ATMs here. Now relax.
Someone's got to explain to them. Look, I would want to blow myself up too if I was living on a dirt. I was living in a giant ashtray, essentially, an ashtray with, you know, mosquitoes the size of pigeons. I'd want to kill. And my neighbors were all just feuding tribes all around me. But look, Al Qaeda, come out here. Strip clubs, ATMs. Allah doesn't judge out here, by the way. We're Allah proof. It's beautiful. You come over here, you get yourself a. First off, you can go to Arby's, and for $5, you can get 5 roast beef sandwiches. Okay? Then you head up the street, no cover charge at the strip joint, and it's during happy hour. So they got a nice buffet and 2-for-1 well drinks, and don't sit too close to the stage. You don't have to tip. You just sit back, eat your Arby's, watch your naked chicks dance around, and the whole day costs you $8. Yeah. That's what I would put into it. All right, Marcus has a... Well, he thinks the earring is manly. I was complaining about guys. Or maybe I could find a woman who was... Is there a woman who's honest enough just to go, yes, I like that? Because every time I sit next to a woman and I say, what is it with the guy with the two hoops? What's with the dangling earrings? Are you attracted to this? Does it help you at all? And they always go, no, 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 I don't like it. And any woman I've ever met just goes, no. Are they not being honest with us? Or is no woman attracted to this and guys just do it anyway, like the weird greasy bang look and the puka shells?
The earring thing?
Yes.
Did you happen to notice, by the way, during the start of the Super Bowl, Harrison Ford?
Creepy. Creepier.
When did he start brazenly wearing a little earring?
It's been
5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been about 9 years. It's been a fast 9 years.
Well, I wasn't alive then, so...
He looks like a jackass with that thing. Plus, he looks like a triple jackass because he's nailing a chick who's 30 years his junior. So when you put the earring, it just looks like a veiled attempt to try to, hey, pops,
take the earring out. Who are you fooling? And why don't you F someone in your bracket, huh? You're dropping down three brackets and the earring's not fooling anyone. No one worse than Ed Bradley from 60 Minutes. The guy's trying to do a legitimate news show and he's sitting there with that earring, but he's black, so we all have to give him a pass. He's 70 years old. He's doing a news show, but he's got the hoop earring hanging out, looking ridiculous. If my dad ever did that, I would just kill him. I would say, Dad, take the hoop out or I'll have a drifter kill you. Done and done.
There's nothing brave in doing something after. Like, it's like when you were in high school and people were doing all sorts of stupid things, and then there was like the jock people who went to college, and then all of a sudden they all got like their septum pierced.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'm cool. I'm okay now. But that's not brave. You're just doing it. Everybody else is doing it.
I agree.
Support. If you would have done gotten an ear pierced like 30 years ago,
right?
Maybe.
Now,
maybe.
Yes. Once you hit 55, your window for piercings, tattoos, and trying anal sex have all closed. I know the last one seemed weird, but if you haven't tried it by 55, come on. You're going to do some damage to your partner. Let's leave that one alone. As long as there's certain things, it's like surfing a 30-foot wave. Entering the NBA draft. It's all up there. Once you hit 55, next lifetime. All right, we got to take a break. Marcus?
Yeah, I'm here.
You think the earring is manly?
Man, I think you guys actually covered what I was going to say, because I got my ear pierced.
All right. Done and done.
What have you already had to say?
Well, we covered it. Obviously, I must have said it at some point. And eventually, I've said everything you guys have had to say, so don't bother calling. Could have been
and
in the eighth grade. It definitely could have been off the air, but I've either said it or thought it while I was driving. No need to call it. We'll take a break. Ooh, somebody's thrown out of first class because they were gassy? Hold on. Joe?
Yeah.
Really thrown out of first class because you had gas?
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on. I don't believe you, but hold on. I would love to believe this.
I want
to
know what hobo power it was.
It's a good point. We got to bring that back. Hang on, Joe. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, that's it. Rachel Perry is in New York for Fashion Week.
Aye, sir.
We got Joe on the blower, who says he was thrown out of first class due to his gas. Joe?
Hi, Joe. This is Joe.
Okay. This makes me think that may not be your name. You just said hi to yourself, which I rarely do.
Well, I'm a little nervous being on the radio.
Okay, me too. What happened? First off, you're from Phoenix. Your name is Joe. Flying first class, what airline?
It was United, Phoenix to D.C.
And you're in the first class?
Yep.
And what happened?
Well, it was a red-eye flight, and one of those weeks where you're working a long week and you're eating a lot of food you probably shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the little music station that they have, like you were talking about earlier, and I just really fell asleep hard.
Mm.
And woke up to the stewardess shaking me, telling me that I was disturbing everybody else in first class with my flatulence. And that if I continued, I would need to move. And I, of course, apologized and was really embarrassed.
Classical gas.
I guess I was waking up the guy next to me. So that was sitting on the left.
Right, but they didn't actually move you.
Well, no, I fell back asleep, and then I guess it happened again. And it was really loud, is the way she described it. And she asked me to move back to coach. So it's not for the first class.
Well, don't get me wrong. I think the people in coach should be punished too. But how's that going to solve anything? Was it empty? You could spread out.
Yeah, there was less people in coach.
All right. And did you physically move back there?
I did physically move only because I was embarrassed by it in the first place, and I figured at this point I couldn't embarrass myself any further. So
it is. I'll buy that. And I'd like to buy you a beer, too, next time I see you.
Yeah, he says he's ashamed. I think the likes of Adam Carolla are proud of
I'm
you.
I'm proud. I got to say, there's that thing when you fall asleep, here's when it happens. You don't realize how much gas is let during that 7-8 hours you're in bed. And I would say more gas than waking hours oftentimes, because you eat a big meal, you have a couple of cocktails, and then you pass out. Things just percolating down there. And you will let it fly when you're in that semi-unconscious state where you don't know if you're in your bed or you're in a crowded room. You're just asleep. The time it usually comes is if you've been living alone for a while, if you have yourself 4 or 5 years of going to bed, just you alone in your bed every night, and then you begin a relationship, and you're in that first couple of months or whatever, and she sleeps over one weekend. But to you, the last 7,000 times your head hit the pillow, you were alone. Now you're in the fifth stage of REM, and it's 4:45 in the morning, and you feel something coming, and you just let it fly. And it's just enough to wake you up and then make you realize there's somebody 14 inches from you in the bed now. And it's always in bed, too. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the position of the cheeks or something. There's no silent but deadly. There's just the crazy Uncle Henry Ahuga horn kind of... I mean, they're the fog cutters that go in that time. Maybe if you sleep on your side, it's the weight of the cheek on the other cheek that creates the flapping action. I don't know what it is. Something about standing up lessens the blow. Now, you're never louder. Maybe it's just the silence. Maybe the fact that there's no TV on and you don't hear the kids playing in the next yard, just the sounds of silence.
Either way, it's probably a good move to just say it wasn't you. Stick with it long enough, they'll eventually believe it.
When you're in bed with somebody.
I don't know.
I don't know who that was.
I don't know who it was either.
I don't know.
Wasn't me.
Oh, why am I flapping the covers? That's it. That's a good question. Let me have to get back
to you. Because I'm outraged by it, and I want to shake this away as much as you
can. That's right. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We have some news. We have some sports. We have some show. All after this.
This is Jerry Ferrara. Why don't you give Adam Carolla a call right now? 1-866-901-ADAM. In case you don't know, it's ADAM. Thinking you know how to spell it, though.
Yeah. Turtle from the grave. Back. That's a long story. I do love Entourage, though. Rachel Perry is in New York City.
What up?
She's there for Fashion Week. We'll do some news. First... couple things. I just wanted to finish this President Bush thing, going to Coretta Scott King's funeral, which I know he doesn't want to go to. And all I'm saying is the guy can't win because he has to go. He just has to go. It's impossible for him not to go. But if he does go, he's just an ass kisser. You know, he's just going. It's a photo op. He has to go. So he gets no credit. I mean, you know, Kanye West, he still thinks he hates black people, even though he's at Coretta Scott King's funeral. He just has to go. And Kanye West's mind is not going to change. If you said to Kanye West, well, you said President Bush hated black people, but here he is paying homage to one of the great black leaders. He'd say, well, please, what's he going to do?
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
That's right. He doesn't care. So all I'm saying is if I'm Bush, and this is why I would be a horrible president, I'm just going to say, I'm just going to be straight up. Look, I'll go, but I need credit. You understand? Or I'm not going. I will go, but you have to punch my little subway card. You understand? I need it to go down somewhere. I need this to count. And then next time Kanye is doing
karma
hurricane
card, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you go to, what I'm saying is you go to the sub sandwich shop, you on your 10th one, you get a free 6-inch sub. I'm not going to go into the sub shop without getting it punched. That's all. If I'm going, I'm getting it punched. So that's all.
Next time I blow things when there's a hurricane in Southeast, it's break even because I was at the funeral.
It's a push.
So, right.
Yeah. Next time I'm late.
There really is no truly selfless act, is there?
No, not in this society anymore. And we know he doesn't want to go. Now look, how about this too with presidents in general? Look, this person, whether it's some, and it's not always just, you know, leaders who are born in our country. Oftentimes it's just dignitaries from other countries that we try to have a relationship with, where the people have to get on. We have to fuel up Air Force One. He's got to fly into Bahrain to sit next to some guy who was, you know, some pedophile that he never heard of, who's got died with $70 billion. Look, I'm running this country. It's a work day. I think my bosses, all 290 million Americans, they're going to need me to show up at work today. And I would claim, too, actually, I only have about 100 million bosses, because the ones who didn't vote for me, nah, not my boss.
And kudos, by the way. Here's something that 5 years ago you wouldn't have known, but now you know how to say Bahrain properly.
Yeah, because of Michael Jackson.
Sharp,
yeah. Bahrain. All right. Before we get to news, before we get to sports, we're going to do a little something. Been planning it for a while. I have this theory that crazy people don't know they're crazy. You do that. You're walking down the street. You see the old guy with the baseball hat that looks like somebody else put it on him. That's one of the things. I can tell you're crazy by the way you wear your hat. All crazy people wear hats, but there is if some teenager scrunched it up and then smacked it onto the old guy's hat. They don't wear the hat. The hat sits on them. It's like what head is to a beer. That's what the hat is to a crazy person. It's not quite the beer. It sits on top of the beer and it just sort of floats there on their weird hair. That's how I know. But do these people actually know they're crazy or think they're crazy? I don't think they do. Maybe that's part of what makes them crazy. And then sometimes I think, well, if I talk to them, maybe they could convince me they weren't crazy. And then I thought, I don't want to talk to them. Why not send Big Tad out with a microphone and talk to them and see if they can prove that they're not crazy?
I work for the Adam Carolla Show, and I'm supposed to be out here looking for crazy people. Prove to me you're not crazy.
The crazy question is that everybody in London is going to win. Now, the Queen Elizabeth is really on the throne, and we're going to win the Mercy Act of the Throne Bowl. Mm. And we're going to go back to scripture number 48. That's not crazy.
That's not crazy?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Are you telling me you're not crazy?
I'm telling you that you came from my old time, but not in my era of love. When my dad is going to win, he's going to take it all.
Hold on, Mike. When I'm in charge, I will bring back the padded wagon and the huge butterfly net that we used to catch crazy people with, chase them around with the butterfly net. And I'm just going to start scraping them off the street. Like, who knows what these people are capable of? At the very least, urinating in the stairwell of the parking structure that you have to smell, your eyes burning when you're leaving the public parking structure and taking those metal stairs. But at worst, homicide. I will look at it as my job to clean them just like I'll have to clean the gum off the sidewalks. And I'll just send my people out, round them up, and we'll put them somewhere. It'll be good for them, too.
Yeah, but I hate to play devil's advocate, but she did make some pretty compelling points.
You're right. Touche. Who's our next one, Mike? You have another one?
Big Tad out here on the streets of Hollywood. Sir, I think you're crazy. Can you prove to me you're not crazy?
Because the world produces intelligence, but you get in something that turns you against your relevance. You want to deal with life, but you deal with drugs and poverty, not life. But you just want to deal with things, get your education, bring everything. I'm not against drugs and poverty, but let drugs take you down to a lower ground. Well, let's go.
I'm
an artist. I'm a fine artist. But okay. Like they say, artists are a thin line between genius and sanity.
All right, so we're one and one. First woman was clearly crazy. This guy, sharp as a tack. I didn't see any of these people. We're just hearing what you hear. I didn't go out with Big Tad, but I'm picturing spats, a vest, perhaps a carnation in his lapel, and in a hurry, walking with an umbrella, even though the weather's nice, you know, but using it as sort of an affectation, a cane, you know, just probably a CEO or something like that. Do we have one more, Mike?
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
Prove to me you're not crazy.
Man, I'm crazy in a rabbit's ass.
Well, all right. But see, then I would argue if you know you're crazier than a rabbit's ass. We should write that.
Catch 22.
Yes, catch 22. If you're crowing that you're crazy, maybe you're not. Maybe you know more than we do. All right, let's now move forward with Rachel Perry out of New York City with the news.
Four U.S. presidents are begrudgingly expected to attend the funeral of Coretta Scott King in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm just kidding. The president and first lady will be at the services beginning at noon Eastern today. Wildfires in Orange County, Southern California, have burned through over 1,200 acres and forced the evacuation of 2,000 homes. No homes have been burned at this time. Thousands of victims of Hurricane Katrina who have been staying in hotels paid for by FEMA will have to begin paying their bills themselves.
That's an outrage. That is an outrage. Yeah. I can't believe we're not paying for everyone for the rest of their lives. This is an outrage. Why is the government doing more? Here's the thing. Let me just ask everybody. I know we don't want to beat up on these poor people, but I've never thought about the government doing anything except for effing things up. I've never thought, where are they? I mean, I've been in California my whole life. We've been through earthquakes. My house got screwed up and the chimney fell off and stuff. I never thought, where's the government? I just thought, hey, why didn't we have earthquake insurance, or who's going to fix the chimney? Who's going to clean those bricks up? You are, son. You're going over to the neighbor's yard and you're going to pull them out of the pool. I mean, where does this thought process come from? I don't like it. I don't understand it. Your job is to have a job.
Well, but there's also been, again, devil's advocate, there's been a great deal of loot set aside to give these people homes.
$3,000 of the Ace Man's money.
Well, they still don't have the homes, the people. A big chunk of the people still don't have the homes. FEMA, listen, these people, the Bush administration is like, wait, you remember when in high school you would be, every day you'd be given math homework, but the teacher would only actually check your homework like once every week or two, only once. They have this money allotted for this, and they're always surprised when people ask about, you haven't actually used the money to buy the houses yet. It's the same thing as like, I'm going to need to collect your homework now and see your work. I didn't actually know you were going to check.
My point is the government they're F-ups, and you shouldn't count on them for anything. So here's your job, good citizens of this country. Look at Uncle Sam is the uncle on your mom's side who's drunk and has a bad leg and is not going to do anything but nap on your sofa and eat your Chex Mix. That's all. Don't count on him.
Low expectations.
That's right. You're on your own. Get some insurance. Get a job. Fight to keep it. And don't count on Uncle Sam, because you will be disappointed. Thank you.
There's evidence that the escape of 23 inmates, 13 of whom are convicted al-Qaeda terrorists from a prison in Yemen. Why can't I say that right? What's wrong with me? Yemen?
Yemen.
Because I'm a retard.
Oh, who cares? Yemen.
They're saying it was an inside job. Did you hear about any of this?
No, I didn't know. They have someone on the inside.
Well, because it was a tunnel. They had they came out through a tunnel, and apparently, because the dirt from the tunnel's got to go somewhere, it came out through a mosque. Like, how did nobody know about this? And apparently all of them were in the same cell. Inside job all the way. How did 23 people, especially in the highest security building in Yemen, escape?
Well, the good news is, because I've been watching the news and following what a lot of the blowhards on the left have to say, they're all innocent anyway. They're just unfairly kept in prison, so they'll just be getting back to their farming jobs.
Yeah.
They're not, every al-Qaeda guy's behind bars is only there because Bush is evil, and these are just hardworking cab drivers and farmers, so they'll be fine. We shouldn't even look for them.
Yeah, no.
And what do you mean they smuggled the dirt out through a mosque?
I don't know. This is just something that I heard on the news.
Well, was the mosque in the prison?
No, because the tunnel had to lead somewhere.
It led to a mosque.
Like I said, this is, I've read a bunch of different stories, but that was just something that I heard.
All right, well, check up on that. I want to know what that means, get the dirt out through the mosque.
Okay. Of course, we were talking to Jillian Barbary a little earlier, Skating with Celebrities, who was on last night. Our friend Dave Coulier and his package were kicked off the show last night. And this is what Dave had to say when he found out he was leaving.
It's been a blast. I want to thank the audience. You've supported us every night. They've been great. I want to thank all of the skaters. There has been an incredible camaraderie between all the skaters. So thank you, and all you guys in the back there that are watching. You guys, thank you.
I got to say this about Coulier. Earlier, we were talking about him getting voted off the Skating with Celebrities, and then I reported, and I guess erroneously, and I have to apologize, that his package got drunk backstage, got got belligerent and had to be escorted out by security. We received a call during the break from Coulier's packages publicist, who said these are false allegations, and essentially said I'd be sued for libel if I didn't apologize over the air. So, again,
to his package?
Yes, if I've offended Coulier's package or his family's packages family, that is, or any member of the great Coulier package family, these are unwarranted and unsubstantiated. Again, I apologize.
Any members of his member's family.
That's right.
Essentially. Well, I'm Rachel Perry, and that is the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Day three of the Steelers' reign as rulers of the football world. More Super Bowl aftermath in just a second. NBA last night, the Suns lose at home to the Timberwolves. Golden State wins at home against the Nuggets. NHL, Anaheim and San Jose, both losers. But on the bright side, for the Sharks, my favorite player in hockey, Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu!
Mike Piazza made it official yesterday. They introduced him as...
Mike Chichu! You should have everyone's last name.
Chichu.
Yes.
Chichu Piazza.
And in Grammy news, Conway Chichu! Kanye.
Press conference, though.
Stop trying to sound like Dave.
Introduced as the newest San Diego Padre. News on the Super Bowl is that the rating second highest in American television history.
Wow.
Behind MASH. That's something, right? And specifically in the city of Pittsburgh, where the Super Bowl champions, a report, you know, raving about the fact that 83% of all television sets in use in the Pittsburgh market were tuned into the Super Bowl. And this is, you know, represented as a remarkable thing.
Right.
What were the other people watching is my question.
I do that every year. I go out sometimes at halftime to go on a beer run, or sometimes just moments before kickoff. I'm hurrying and I see people out walking their dog and I'm angered. I'm like, oh, you bitch, I'll kill you.
Right,
what
that's
are you doing?
That's one thing. Why aren't you at home watching the big game?
I'll kill you and your mutt.
Don't go.
I'll strangle you with that leash and then I'll choke you out with that duty bag.
Whoa,
I'll put it over your head.
Man.
No, I'm sorry. I'm angry.
Calm down.
And by the way, as we talked about yesterday, I was at the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and I had great seats, you know, 45-yard line, about 25 rows up, spectacular seats. There were people behind me literally explaining the rules of football to each other.
Yes.
Why is there this inverse relationship between the bigger the game, the more corporate types who have free tickets sitting in the big game? They didn't know what the football was, and they're watching the biggest game in football. How did they get in there?
They're trying. Everyone is trying to anger us, Dave. I've realized that.
There are people who literally would kill to get into the game, and these dopes are talking about what is the 2-minute warning? Why do they do that?
Literally, yes.
Literally, look. I say kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Let them kill the people who are in those seats and take their tickets.
Hey, when the Steelers did the flea flicker reverse touchdown pass, I literally jumped out of my skin. Literally. Literally, physically jumped out. I can't stand people that use literally too much.
I literally
jumped 30 feet in the air. Literally.
I hate it too. But when I say they literally would kill to be in that game.
They would.
They literally would kill to be in that game. Meantime.
Then why didn't they?
Well,
why
who knows?
Didn't they?
2020, who knows if they didn't?
2020 hindsight. You
That's
know?
Right.
That's exactly what should happen. Meantime, the Seahawks all rallied, you know, to welcome the Seahawks fans rallied to welcome home their players and Coach Mike Holmgren. I guess there's a little debate about the refereeing in the game. A lot of Seahawks got sour pusses about the way the game was called. Here's what Mike Holmgren said to the crowd yesterday.
Knew it was going to be tough going against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't know we were going to have to play the guys in the striped shirts as well.
Wow. All right. Was it a referee who ran that 75-yard the record-breaking run there for the touchdown?
To be fair to Holmgren, he was talking about French sailors from the turn of the century.
Oh,
they had the stripe. They went horizontally.
You gotta listen to the whole thing. I'm sorry.
No.
Well, you listen like
to the whole. Well, next time,
apology.
Just listen to the whole thing.
All right. When you're right, you're right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I think we have some clarity on this whole mosque dirt thing. Kimbra?
Yeah, from what I'm to understand, I don't remember where I heard it, but the tunnel actually started from the mosque.
It started from the mosque?
Yeah.
So which was in the prison compound?
No. The mosque is outside the prison compound, but what they did is they started the tunnel from the mosque. So dirt, obviously, was, you know, not an issue.
Right. So the mosque is just yards outside of the prison walls?
I didn't get that much information, but I just...
Well, I'm going to do the mosque math and say since these tunnels can't go longer than 100 feet or so, it just had to be very close to the wall of the prison.
Well, I don't know that part.
I know. You don't want to commit to that. It could have been in the next county. It could have been on the other side of the Pacific. I was just
tunneling 140 meters to a nearby mosque.
There you go.
That's what it says.
All right.
Well, points for commitment.
There you go. Yeah. And again, tunneling is back with a vengeance. I know 1 minute
you
it's...
You should tunnel to work, Adam.
Oh, who says I haven't? I'll tell you, 1 minute it's Mexicans bringing heroin under the border. Next thing it's, Hamas smuggling their men out of the prison. I don't like what they stand for, but I do like their methods. A tip of the hat to all the tunnelers out there. It's had a resurgence. There used to be a lot of tunneling out of prison camps in World War II. This, in general, lots of tunneling. Lots of kids used to have forts. Forts were often. Yeah, you had a fort in
Canada,
the ground.
In the winter, we would tunnel through. We would get, 20-foot high snowbanks. We would tunnel the crap out of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I wonder if kids, especially young boys, really enjoy that kind of thing. Today's kids are all soft and pink. They got the first stretch mark before they lose their virginity. Covered with stretch marks, with lactating and sitting around playing Game Boy all day. They don't know from tunneling. We had tunnels back in the day. Okay. So, like I said, bittersweet. Al-Qaeda's out of the joint. On the other hand, they used the tunnel.
Yeah, something to admire.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not that different after all.
No. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the show after this.
Listen to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 966. Oh, I'm so sorry. 866. Still have to look at it. 901-ADAM. All right. Kristen Cavallari? Yeah. Maybe they're correct. Doing the Y. It's not Yair. It's Lair. Yeah? Cavallari.
Yes.
She's a... That's a sweet name. She's from the Real OC, the Laguna Beach, the Real OC,
sweet
on MTV. Beautiful blonde. And she's got a new show coming out on the on UPN, called Get the Party Started. Well, they're now the same, right?
Right.
WWWWB is UPN.
I think that's
all the same thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk to her. Kristen?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. You sound hot.
Oh, thanks.
Now you do that thing where you go, hi, how are you?
Well, I don't even notice.
Well, it feels good.
This one's a Manx.
I'm glad.
Let me tell you something, Ace. This one's a fox.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I can see the picture.
Thank you.
Kristen, this is a documentary, obviously, Laguna Beach, the Real OC. Is it totally unscripted, the show?
Let's put it this way. I wasn't portrayed very accurately, and no one's life is that interesting. I'm sorry, I don't care if you live in Laguna Beach, I don't care where you live. You can't just go film someone's life, put it on TV, and have people respond to it the way that they did.
So are you angry? Do you think you're unfairly portrayed?
The first season, yeah, I was really upset, and I cried the first two episodes, but it's gotten me where I need to be, and so I couldn't be happier, and I don't regret a thing.
Well, you're going to college right now.
I was going to college.
You were going to Loyola Marymount.
Yeah.
And were you always aspiring to be in show business?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a host. I was studying broadcast journalism. But then once I started doing Laguna Beach, and now that I'm hosting, I really want to act.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get your chance and get the party started, which premieres tonight, 9 o'clock on UPN.
Yeah.
Well done.
See how smooth that was?
Did I see Kristen yesterday at the Betsy Johnson show?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were there.
That was a fun show.
Yeah, it was a really fun show, and you were sitting across from, who was the guy with the spiky hair with the beard?
Jason?
I don't know. Maybe. I thought it looked like Ryan Cabrera.
Oh, really? No, I don't think he was there.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
So the other girls
going to the shows.
Yes. So all the other girls on Laguna Beach, do they all hate you since you're now, you're the bright star?
The breakout?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. Ask them.
All right. Get them on the blower. Let's get to the bottom of this.
I'm curious to know, too. So.
They're at Denny's waiting tables right now. I think you can contact them there.
Big Tad, our morbidly obese flunky from the show, is also from the O.C.
From the real O.C.
Yes, he is from the real O.C.
Where?
North Orange County, Fullerton.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, beautiful.
You're in her voice.
You date a lot of guys from Fullerton. She'll date you sight unseen. Just say you're from Fullerton. You're in.
Yeah.
We thought we'd do a little compare and contrast to what you call the real OC and what we know is the real OC, which is Big Tad's pathetic life.
Okay.
So let's just first figure this out. What do your parents do for a living?
Okay. My dad's an apartment developer, and my mom's an accountant.
All right, so accountant and real estate developer. And Big Tad, what does your mom do?
My mom's currently retired. She used to work at a potato chip factory, Laura Scudder's.
Uh-huh.
And my dad, who has now passed away, worked at Northrop.
Uh-huh.
Airplane All right. company.
Northrop. Let me explain something.
Airplane.
Defense contractor. Yeah. Let me explain something. When you worked at a potato chip factory and you no longer work there, you're not retired. Your ass can. You know what I mean? When I trim some fat from some gristle from my steak, I don't retire it. I just move it into I just get into disposal.
Right. Real estate developers retire.
That's right. NFL quarterbacks retire. When you're looking at chips on a conveyor belt all day, you don't retire from that. All right. So keeping it real. yes. What college did you go to? You go to Loyola Marymount, or went to Loyola Marymount, right?
Yes.
Tad, how say you?
I went to Fullerton Community College.
Community College. Yeah. And please, let's not call it community college. It's junior college, everybody. It's way too noble, the community. It actually sounds like there's some education going on over there instead of people trying to score weed and waste taxpayers' money.
Hey, it got me where I am today.
Well, in this little tale of the tape, though, the one thing you have to say for Tad is, did you get your degree?
No.
Oh, I was going to give you a little nod there because she left school.
No.
Well, I left school to pursue my radio career.
Right.
There you go. I left to pursue my acting career and hosting career.
There you go.
How big is your swimming pool, Kristen?
What? I don't have a swimming pool.
You don't have a swimming pool at your home?
I don't have a swimming pool.
Your parents?
No, my parents don't have one either. At my apartment complex, there's a community swimming pool.
But there's not one at your beautiful home in Laguna Beach?
No, even though it looks like it on the show.
Well, what happened?
I don't know. There's not a pool in every house in Laguna.
I would sue my parents if that were true. Tad, do you have a pool?
Yes, I do. I have a kidney-shaped pool.
I
don't know how big it is, though.
Kidney-shaped.
For me.
You rarely see the kidney shape in the above-ground pools.
It's not above-ground.
It would be nice. They'll come out with a designer look for the white trash above-ground pools. And does anything scream white trash like the above-ground pool?
How dare you.
It's basically we take this chain link fencing, we put it in a circle, you put a big garbage bag in it, and you fill it with the hose.
Do you know what my swimming pool is, Adam? The Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Creeps like that.
And your playground is all the outdoors.
That's right, yes.
All right. And Kristen.
Yes.
What is the longest you've gone in your adult life without having sex?
7 months.
7 months. Oh, Big Tad's got you licked.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
2 years.
Not literally, but 2 years.
2 years.
And by the way, it's one of these things where it's been 2 years for 6 months. I'm going to go ahead and bump it up to the next. You're going to the next bracket, my friend.
All right.
It was 2 years when we were talking about it last March. How can it still be 2 years?
Going on three.
That's right. All right. Do we have a last question for?
Who lives with you? Oh yeah, who lives at your parents' house with you?
It's my dad, my stepmom, and then my brother and I are both off of college, so.
I see, so it's just them.
Big Dad,
who do you have living under?
You guys are a-holes. my mom, my grandma, my cousin, and my aunt. My mom, grandma, cousin, aunt, uncle.
Yeah. See, if you're Japanese or you're Mexican, I'll give you a pass on the entire family living under the same roof, because it's a cultural thing. When you're white, you can't wait to get away from your family. So if you live together, that's a bad sign.
I'm trying.
Well, I'll tell you what, these two kids have both broken out, you know, from college. Maybe they should break out from their respective homes and get a place together.
How say you, Kristen? Maybe you shack up with Big Tad. He's looking for a roommate. There you go.
She's in. Tad, I'll say you.
I'm in. I can cook.
I need a roommate.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I do.
Where do you live?
What's in L.A.? I live in Marina Del Rey, which kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm. Now, is your boyfriend a celebrity?
No.
Did Rachel Perry recognize him at the fashion show last night?
He wasn't with me at the fashion show.
Oh,
no. She was getting all kissy-kissy with, what's-her-face, Janice Dickinson.
Oh, God.
You were canoodling with a woman?
I was canoodling with Janice Dickinson.
She sounds like she has been hanging around gay men so long, she actually acts like a gay man now, I think.
Wow.
That's pretty funny. That's true.
So you were at the fashion show, and your boyfriend is back here, and he's not a celebrity. But you don't live with him?
No, I don't live with him.
And are you looking for a roommate?
No.
You have enough money. You don't need a roommate.
No. Well, my dad's an apartment developer, so I get an apartment.
I'm going to kill my dad.
You don't want to live with Ted. Although that would be an interesting
experiment.
I don't
know. It might be kind of fun.
Rachel, you don't know me, man. I'm a good cook.
You don't know me, man.
I'm a good cook.
Right.
All right. We need to take a break. Kristen, thank you for calling in and being a part of the show. Yes. Kristen Cavallari, who's from Get This Party Started, premieres tonight on UPN, 9 o'clock. Big Tad will go home, and you'll be able to find his house by following the Trail of Tears.
That's the closest he's come to a woman in 2 years.
That was close.
I was getting excited.
Shoot on the phone, too.
Yeah.
We will take ourselves a break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carell Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Coming up, John Madden is going to call in from the Man Cruiser, elected into the Hall of Fame. Jorge Garcia, the Husky gent from Lost, is coming in here. We're going to do a little Grammy talk. Rachel Perry's in New York for the Fashion Week. Mark, the poet from Seattle.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Mark. You have a poem for us about the Seattle Lost?
I do. I have to boost our spirits here.
I'd like to, be interesting. Damashek was talking about 83% of televisions that were on being turned on the Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. I wonder what it was in Seattle.
I was trying to look it up earlier this morning. I didn't find the percentage.
I'm guessing it would be lower than 83%.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably right. Probably about 72% here.
Okay. Oh no, probably. I would say lower. I would say quite a bit lower than that.
I'm sure.
Well, you're the man, Adam.
Thank you.
Fair amount of people out kissing. Yeah. Fair amount of people out hiking and
convening with
nature. Right?
Plus, you got a lot of. You don't have as many gays and lesbians that aren't interested in the Super Bowl as you do in Seattle. You
know what
I mean?
Probably true. Yeah,
you have a diversity there. Instead of Pittsburgh's just pasty white guys with double chins.
Yeah,
and
the
bad
diversity
mustaches.
Is your Steelers T-shirt black or is it gold?
That's as much diversity as they have. Yeah, I picture everyone from Pittsburgh looking like a 70s New York cop. Big sideburns, big double chin.
Everyone. Mustaches, men, women.
And telling criminals just to get out of here. Go on, get out. All right. Well, give us your poem, would you please, Mark?
It'd be my honor. There's depression in Seattle, amazingly not due to the rain. Possibly only Broncos fans can truly know our pain. Our team losing the Super Bowl, the sadness Seattleites felt. Could it be the Hawks of the Sea needed the balanced pro sport belt? We won't dwell on the negative. We'll be ready for next year's battle. So please let me now extol the positive virtues of Seattle. We have the Space Needle, Pike Place Market and EMP, gave you the guitar god Hendrix and the Kung Fu master Bruce Lee.
Wow.
You know, we love our coffee, like the Ace Man Adam Carolla, Tully's and Starbucks headquarters, yet the connoisseurs go to Victrola. Boeing here has aerospace action, Microsoft equals technology, Amazon got the goodies, hometown heroes helping the U.S. economy. Who could forget? We brought you grunge, had all your asses wearing flannel, all ages music at the Vera Project, hopefully a monorail panel. Sir Mix-a-Lot and Cameron Crowe are residents, Peter Buck and Dave Matthews too. We even have Knights Templar because the Da Vinci Code's partly true. So Dave, you keep your Steelers, and the Linus like tell-toting rattle. Until we win the Super Bowl, we'll be sleepless in Seattle.
Wow.
Good. It rhymed. I'll say that much.
Nice work, Mark.
Hey, thanks a lot. Do you mind if I mention my new book?
Yeah, go ahead. All right. I didn't say it was going to be on the air. Just say it into the phone.
I hope it's a book of poetry.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing worse than that deaf comedy jam. Whenever I watch it, I wish I was deaf. I think that's why they call it that.
Street looking for a break, black man can't find that.
It's also one of those things
called America
where you can't raise your hand and go, hey, doesn't this suck? You just have to pretend like you're down with it. Oh yeah, I know, I dig it. No, I feel you. Hey, Mark.
Yes, Adam.
Give your book a plug, why not?
Oh, thank you very much. It's titled Poems to Babylon. It's all sacred poems to the divine feminine.
And, I can't believe that's staying on the shelves. You don't have to plug a book like that. It sells itself. When I go into a Borders and I see a book about feminine poetry written by a dude from Seattle, I'll oftentimes buy the entire allotment and then give it out as gifts during the holidays.
Well, thank you, Adam. God bless you.
No, God bless you. Keep the work up. All right?
You're doing God's work.
You really are. Angry comment about crazies. Oh, hold on a second. Sandy?
Yes.
What's up?
I just agreed with you when you said that you thought you should get all the crazy people because their hat that they have, you could pick them out with their hat because their hats, but you could put them in a wagon and take them out off somewhere.
Well, I didn't say a wagon. I said a padded wagon.
Okay, yeah, same thing. But that, I just didn't agree with that.
And I said catch them with a butterfly net.
Right, exactly.
Because I missed that. I'm saying take them somewhere for them. They don't have to sleep in a cardboard box or in a parked car anymore.
That's not all of them do. Some of them choose to do that.
Right. I would argue that when you choose to sleep in a refrigerator box, you're crazy, even though it's of your own free will. Just like if you choose to drink radiator flush or kill people, you're still crazy.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm. I got that part. But maybe I caught in part of it wrong.
Okay. Well, can you, Sandy, prove to me you're not crazy?
Yeah, I'm not. I used to take care of them. Well, I guess I am kind of a little crazy.
Yeah, well, try and prove it.
I'm sorry, to a certain degree.
I'll give you a few moments. Go ahead and tell me. Prove to me. Convince me that you're not crazy as well.
Well, I mean, how do you want me to convince you that I'm not crazy?
Well, maybe.
I'm asking the question back to you, but I don't know.
Well, you could tell me you're educated to a certain degree. You could tell me that you have a family and you're a loving mother.
I have no children and I'm single. But I did take care of mentally disabled, crazy people for 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're crazy but to a certain extent, but they're not always crazy.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
No.
All right, well, then you're crazy. I have no time for you. These people don't watch the Super Bowl. I get angry at them.
Only way out of that argument is to say you're crazy.
Yes, and then you're not crazy. That's right. Catch 22. I have a idiot savant carpenter, Gary, who you may know from my TLC show. When I was building my house, I would talk to him every Sunday night on my way to work, and I would always get angry after the Super Bowl because I'd call him at 9 o'clock at night while I was driving into Loveline, and I'd say, hey, Gary, you know, we do that little small talk before we get the business thing that you always have to do so you don't seem like a prick, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but you know what I'm saying? You do that thing where you go like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Good. How's the weekend? Fine. Okay, I'm going to need you to haul some S around yesterday. Pick up a shovel and start digging. It's 7 a.m. tomorrow. How are the kids? So I do that thing with Gary where I'm like, okay, buddy, how was the weekend? Good. Did you enjoy the Super Bowl? And then he answers with this. Was that on this weekend?
No.
That to me, by the way, is more egregious than, no, I didn't watch it. Not even Gary, and I would go nuts. I'd be like, do you understand? I am traumatized because the football season is over, because the Super Bowl is over, and you don't even know it was being played today. And how does that work? How small is your radar screen that doesn't even make it on? Okay, you're not a fan. Okay, this isn't a big day for you. But you do have a TV set. You do have a radio in your car, right? I mean, can you avoid it? And how much of life can you tune out? Because I'll do this. I'll talk to my sister. Hey, how about I bring the kids and the nephews over? We'll come by, say, I don't know, 3:22 on Sunday, the 5th of February. sweetie, Lauren, that Super Bowl's played. Oh, is that?
What sport is that?
Who's in it? Were you taken hostage in Iraq and someone just pulled the sack off your head and brought you here? How does this work? Like I said, I understand. In a way, I almost even respect and am envious of the people that don't know what's going on. Like, they're not all caught up in the hype. They're going to be with their kids. They're going to be hiking. They're going to be doing their thing like any other Sunday, enjoying life. But how does it work that they haven't heard of it? That they don't know? Always amazing to me. But again, I'm secretly jealous. Okay, Jorge Garcia is here from Lost. I know his work from the Taco Bell. No, the Jack in the Box commercial where he posed as Jack in the Box. My favorite spot. But he is here from Lost. We'll talk to him. John Madden is coming up. All that after this.
This is Ron White. Call Adam Carolla now. I said now. At 1-866-901-ADAM. Or Adam.
Mm-hmm. That's right. 866-901-ADAM. John Madden was supposed to be phoning in, but I don't see him. He's on the road. You know, he just was elected the NFL Hall of Fame. He only has one Super Bowl win. Is it a combination between him winning a Super Bowl, which doesn't automatically get you into the Hall of Fame, I don't imagine, and his broadcasting career?
No, this is for just his coaching.
Just coaching.
But I would submit he wouldn't have made the Hall of Fame as a coach had it not been for his...
Yeah. If he was like Weeb Eubanks and just sort of dropped off the face of the earth, or died, or did whatever, you know. I mean, if he'd won his one Super Bowl with the Raiders out here at the Coliseum, I think it was out here at the Coliseum, and then just gone away, you'd never hear him again. He wouldn't be on the ballot. I don't believe. But anyway, and I don't know. He didn't even coach that long in the league.
Eight years, 10 years,
which is fairly long, but not that long by NFL Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think of other Hall of Fame coaches that are in there that had Lombardi, I think, did 10 years, but who just had one championship and a medium length career. Anyway, he's supposed to be calling in, but let's push forward. Jorge Garcia is going to come in here from Lost, and he, of course, is Hurley from Lost. Let's do the news, and we'll do the sports, and if Madden calls in, we'll talk to him after the sports. First, the news with Rachel Perry from New York City.
Staff until tonight out of respect for the funeral of Coretta Scott King in Atlanta, Georgia. The President and First Lady will be at the service beginning at noon Eastern today. Wildfires in Orange County, Southern California have burned through over 1,200 acres and forced the evacuation of 2,000 homes. No homes have been burned at this time. And after days of protests...
Hold on. Who's going to do something for those people? Who's going to help those people from Orange County had to flee their homes?
Yeah, they should probably never have to work again.
They should never have to work again. And what did they have to do? And by the way, they had to flee themselves?
Yeah.
How come no one fleed them? Where was President Bush? You know, we got white people in Orange County who need help. Why weren't they fled?
President Bush hates white people.
He hates white people. You mean they just got into their cars and packed their families up and left?
Well,
that's a slap
President
in the face.
People in Orange County. People in Orange County can have the option of using Tad as a flotation device.
Oh, so sad for Big Tad. All right, I'm just saying, where's FEMA? Where's Bush? Why isn't he down there? Why isn't he helping these people? This is an outrage. Yes, he hates white people from Orange County. Here we go.
He hates people. Maybe he's decided that he likes black people now and he hates white people.
Ooh.
That's what's happened. He's at the funeral.
That's right.
Scott King.
That's right.
He's abandoned the white people.
That's right. Meanwhile,
what about the white people?
We got rich, pink-cheeked white people in Orange County who are having to flee. Where's Bush? He's attending the funeral of a black person. He hates whitey. Write that down.
After days of protests over cartoons depicting the Muslim prophet Muhammad, Iran's best-selling newspaper is holding a contest for the best cartoon about the Holocaust to test the boundaries of free speech.
Smart. Hey, I'm no genius, but those folks got to get themselves a publicist. The entire Muslim world needs a publicist because their stock, I don't know, do they have religious approval ratings? You know, the Muslim world would be at an all-time low at this point. You guys were much better off when you were just sort of off our radar. Now, you Jews are kicking your ass. The Quakers and Shakers are well above you guys in the religious approval rating chart. Get a publicist. That's what I say to the Muslim world. And why don't
you
get
them a publicist.
I should get them a publicist.
Why should they have to do this by themselves?
Hey, Bragman, Nyman, and Caffarelli, if you guys are listening, you guys head over to the Middle East and really do your work.
That's a coup.
Yeah.
There.
I'll tell you. The folks that take to the street, the ones that take to the street, and you see it on the news every day, angry mob, they have sticks, they have rocks, they've taken to the streets, they're going to burn the embassy. Oh, riot police have tried to fight them back with beanbags and tear gas, but it doesn't work. They storm the embassy and they light it on fire. Could we start shooting into these crowds? And by the way, if we did start shooting into these crowds, who are we killing? Future school teachers and attorneys, or are we just killing the next guy to strap on the dynamite? Do you know what I mean? At what point do we just say enough is enough? Let's just start with the napalm and the carpet bombing. There's a bunch of guys that are fanatical, they're religious, they're fanatics, and they've taken to the street, and what they would like to do is they would like to destroy the city and burn it down. At what point do we just open fire?
Aren't cartoons funny, Adam?
Yeah, they are funny.
Cartoons are funny.
Yeah.
I've been laughing for days about this.
The only group with less of a sense of humor than the Muslims are the Christian fundamentalists.
Yeah, they ought to get the word fun right out of their title. Here we go.
All right, and finally, in the wake of the devastating breakup of Sheryl Crow and Lance Armstrong, Entertainment Tonight had the reactions from many celebrities, including Jenna Elfman, Mark Helgenberg, James Denton, and LL Cool J.
Everybody's breaking up. It's ridiculous. I'm still recovering from Heather Locklear and Richie Sambora. You never want anybody to do a breakup instead.
But I just always hate to hear it because you know that somebody's unhappy. But I like them both. I'm a big fan of both of them.
He's an inspiring guy. He's an amazing guy. She's a tremendous artist. And you know,
thank you,
Val. People break up. But you know, things happen.
When did this start?
Nobody
is asking other celebrities about people's tragedy.
Yeah,
you're getting divorced, LL Cool J. You know, Lance Armstrong is getting divorced. Ooh. LL, how does this strike you?
Well, right now, nobody believes they would get divorced except for the people in this locker room.
What gives?
I have no idea. And does anyone have the huevos to say, who cares?
We got
to
ask Corey.
It started the same time that everybody started caring too much about fashion.
Yes, I do blame. I blame them. It's the same people.
I can't wait to ask Corey Garcia how the divorce is going.
I got to know, too. And again, I told my wife that I broke up because he cheated.
Well done.
That's how it works.
Nicely played, sir.
Makes me look good.
Yes.
All right.
I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA last night. The Suns lose at home to the T-Wolves. Golden State wins at home against the Nuggets. NHL, Anaheim and San Jose, both losers. Mike Piazza, introduced yesterday by the San Diego Padres as their new catcher. And you may have heard a thing or two. I think I brought it up yesterday. The Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers won. Seahawks lost.
Where are they from?
The Steelers?
Yeah.
They're from out east. I think it's in Pennsylvania. Oh, I'm pretty sure it's, you know what it is? I think it's where the Allegheny and Monongahela converged to form the mighty Ohio. I think it's a city called Pittsburgh, PA. Let's check into that.
Dave wants to know.
However, there's a winner. That was the winning team. Mm-hmm. The losing team, however,
Seattle.
Sour grapes. You know, really? They wear blue and green, but should be purple.
Blaming the zebras.
Well, they're very upset about the referees, apparently. Mm-hmm. And listen to Coach Mike Holmgren address a rally for the Seahawks yesterday.
I knew it was going to be tough going against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't know we were going to have to play the guys in the striped shirts as well.
He was confused. He was talking to the Muslims who were trying to burn the embassy.
Well, I went back and I saw, after hearing that, I went back and looked at it, and it turned out I was sure it was Antoine Randall-El who threw that flea flicker touchdown pass. It turned out it was one of the referees.
One of the refs actually.
I was upset at Mike Holmgren when I first heard that comment and the complaints of all the Seahawks fans. Turns out I was wrong. They were right.
Mm. Well, here's the deal with these calls. You're going to get four or five of them against your team. Two of them are going to be bad. And if it happens on a play where you gain 4 yards, nobody cares. But if it happens on a touchdown, you lose the game. And that's what happened. All right.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
John Madden is on the phone calling from the Madden Cruiser. John?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling into the program.
Yeah, and Holmgren forgot I was also on the Steelers' side. I mean, I was out there tickling the guys on the Seahawks so they couldn't be ready to play.
They're laughing so hard they couldn't hold the ball.
Yeah, that's how sneaky I am. People don't realize, hey, I can get from the booth down to the field, do a little tickle thing, and then get back up into the booth before anybody even knows it.
I want to congratulate you on your... On being nominated or voted into the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah. And I think it's about time. I mean, I don't want to sound bitter or angry or anything like that, but, if you talk about a guy who deserves it, I mean, I'm a guy, and that's how I'm starting out my speech. I was going to say, hey, I am the Brett Favre of Hall of Famers now. And you guys here in the Super Bowl, I didn't even mention Brett Favre.
You know what would be fun to do, Coach? Would be fun for you to get up there when you do your acceptance speech to have a telestrator. And just go, I was born in 1937, boom, Huntsville, Mississippi. Then I coached at the collegiate level, pow, and you just draw out your entire life.
Yeah, and you ever notice that my booms and pows are pretty much the same words they use in the old Batman series when somebody would punch somebody?
Yes.
Boom, pow, bang, whap. I mean, I should thank in my Hall of Fame speech.
Coach, I don't want to cut you off, but I heard that you would have been elected earlier, but they didn't have enough bronze for your head.
Yeah, that would take a while, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's going to take a while. I mean, we're going to have to really start collecting, like a war effort, to get enough bronze together to make his bust and put it in Canton.
Yeah.
So what is, do you have an acceptance speech? Do you have it prepared?
Just a little bit. I wanted to go up there and say, I want to thank everybody who made this possible for me. Like I said, the people from the Batman series with the booms and the pows, and then the guy who invented the eyebrow clippers.
I mean, that guy.
I mean, without that guy, I mean, you wouldn't be able to see guys like Al Michaels next to me. And, and your hardware store. I mean, I think that...
Pace, that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is the place that got me there. And, without the Outback Steaks or the Dr. Peppers or the Miller Beers or all those things. And I think that, you get one person that gets introduced to you. And I think I'm going to have my wife, Brett Favre, introduce me.
it'd be interesting if you could pick up sponsorship for things like that. I'm sure there's nothing in the rule books that says you can't. I mean, if you could just, a shirtless John Madden could have Golden Palace scrawled across his chest and marks a lot when he makes his induction speech. That would be awesome.
Yeah,
right?
You could have Golden Palace and a complete disclaimer underneath it written on it.
Yeah, on the belly.
Yeah.
Who is going to introduce you? Who is going to bring you out?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure yet. It could be a Dave Casper, which I did his, and I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, it could be one of millions of people, because so many people have watched me do this well.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Adam West from the Batman series.
Yeah, now that's a, see, that was one I hadn't thought of, but hey, that would be great. I mean, that guy's the best actor since William Shatner.
Well, because you played King Tut in the Batman series, yes?
Yeah, you know, people don't realize that I did do that. And I wanted to play the Joker, but King Tut was more my style.
Maybe, yeah, the tights probably not your scene, even back in the 60s. Maybe Brett Favre himself could bring you out.
Yeah, you know, that, you know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this, but I am a fan of Brett Favre. And,
no.
Yeah, I think he might be the guy that could do it, or maybe somebody from Brett Favre's family. I don't care, just so the word Favre is in the introduction.
So what's the schedule for John Madden now? The season is over. We have the Pro Bowl coming up next week, and then what?
Have you heard of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a little stop there. They got bus RV parking and stuff. I haven't gotten all the outbacks yet, so.
All right, you're crisscrossing the nation.
Yeah, still going back.
So your job is to put 80 pounds on before next season.
Yeah, you know, that'll be fun working with the peacock and whatnot. I think that's how you do it.
John Madden, again, we congratulate you and thank you for being part of our program.
All right, guys.
Nice job. That's a long time coming and way overdue. John Madden in the Hall of Fame. Jorge Garcia. He's Hurley from Lost. He will be in here in just a few, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Jorge Garcia.
Morning.
He's here from Lost, of course. That was The Who, of course. The Who is so much better than the Rolling Stones. Will people just concede this already? Why do people argue with me? They're so much more interesting. They're so much more melodic. They're just... You listen to Quadrophenia? What a piece of work.
I heard that's why that Rolling Stones circus special never aired. Because I think that was... Because they were the guest of the Rolling Stones a long time ago.
Mm.
And it was like... I think they basically blew them out of the water that one time.
Yes, The Who
so
kicked the Rolling...
We can't show this.
They kicked their ass. Why do people argue?
Yeah, it came out later. Like, when I was working at Borders. So I remember it came out on DVD, and I was... And it was like, well, okay, we've been around for a while now. I think we can...
let it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unlike the Rolling Stones, The Who had the dignity to hang up their cleats when they were 63 years of age.
Right.
You know?
Well, you stop having fun.
Well,
it's time to get out of the game.
They hung it up, but, you know, I think the individuals are still doing stuff.
Rachel from New York City, by the way. Jorge, this the thing about...
I love Lost.
Hey, right on.
It is... It's one of these.
I need answers.
It's one of these. Do you have any answers?
I don't have answers.
I mean, you can't give
what
answers.
What do the numbers mean?
But do you have them? Yes.
No, I mean, I have just like a couple episodes ahead of the audience pretty much on this show.
That's it.
Yeah.
I noticed it looks like you've been living in Hawaii because your hair looks lighter. It's been bleached out. You're freckled. I mean, you have a tan. Or it's not really tan, but you've turned orange. I mean, you've turned it. You're a different color. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Is it the life? You're more mellow. You're high.
Not high, but definitely a nice life there.
It is. And what is the schedule of Lost? I mean, what is the filming schedule over there?
It depends. Like when you're shooting your episode, like when shows focus on your past, mm-hmm. you're working like 13 hours for about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But with 14 regulars, you get a lot of days off during the week, so it's pretty sweet.
What a gig.
Yeah, it's a good gig.
And everyone's just living on the North Shore?
No, we live all over the island. There's a couple on the North Shore, couple windward side, just pretty much all over the place.
Is it hard to get around the island now? I mean, is the word out? And they don't like the Howleys anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're pretty happy we're there.
They are.
We get a lot of support from Hawaii. Yeah, absolutely.
You could pass yourself off as a native.
Yeah, I get a lot of people ask me if I'm Samoan sometimes.
Yeah.
Or if I got somehow hired local for the show.
Well, you have huge calves and you have the crazy hair.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Right.
Do they tell you that you can't cut your hair? Like, are you stuck with this hair for the rest of until this show's over?
I guess pretty much. Well, they have had a couple on-air haircuts. So mm-hmm. at some point, like, they can incorporate a haircut, but...
And beard and things like that.
Yeah, sometimes they'll show someone shaving, either like Locke will shave with one of those knives he has or something.
That's on my list of things to do.
by the way. I have this long fantasy list of things I want to do before I die, which is, you know, have my hands registered in a county as weapons.
Yeah.
Have a cape removed from me when I'm on stage by a squire. You know, I go out on stage and the cape is removed. I don't call for it. There's a guy who knows that that's his job. Jumping into a body of water with a knife in my mouth.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And shaving with a knife.
Right.
You could dry shave.
I think it'd be also cool to do that thing where you slide down the sail with a knife.
Oh, yeah. Or the dive into the ocean off out of the crow's nest, off the main mast, with the thing, with the knife in the mouth. That's a good one. Not enough guys diving in the water with knife in their mouth.
Yeah.
And by the way, did that ever happen? There wasn't some guy who was like, hey, Bert, why don't you go ahead and put the knife in your sock or something? I think you could hurt yourself. At the very least, turn the blade side out.
Right.
Come on now. You're going to cut your head off. Let's go.
Bert the pirate.
Well, he probably had a longer pirate name, but it got shortened. You know this. You know how guys do when they're spent confined, when they're confined together for long
Bert
trips.
Bert to his close pirate friends.
Yeah.
So are you, and you guys have been winning every award imaginable. Is it hiatus time? Is that why you're here, or do you have a short break and you're able to come back to L.A.?
Yeah, it's just a short break, and just came into town, do some, you know, publicity stuff for the show, basically.
Does it? What? And by the way, does the show need any publicity? Do you really have to do that? Can't you just laugh when the guy says, you got to do the morning show junket, and you think, oh, what? Look, everyone in the world is watching the show anyway, right?
I don't know. They still advertise Coke and Pepsi, too.
And do they, when you come out here, I mean, what is the overall sort of yearly schedule? Or does it shift that much?
It's pretty much we're in Hawaii from July to almost May. At least that's what it was
so far.
Yeah.
And,
you know who has to hate you? The people from Dawson's Creek who got stuck in North Carolina for 9 years. You guys get stuck in Maui and they're stuck in North Carolina.
Yeah, and the people were like, wow, so good we don't shoot a show in Canada right now.
Yeah.
Like snow and winter.
Yeah. So what now do you think, here's another question, can you ever move back? I mean, eventually, the series ends. I've had friends who went to school in Santa Barbara. They went to UC Santa Barbara. We never let your kid go to UC Santa Barbara because after 5 years of riding around barefoot on a skateboard, smoking weed and staring at the Pacific, they're not ready to come back to Glendale to work for their father-in-law's furniture factory. They just decide, I'll get a job at a head shop and stay out here. Crash at a friend's house. Can you ever come back after spending all that time there?
I don't know. I mean, I did over last hiatus. I actually moved out of my LA apartment and have made Hawaii so far. It's like kind of the main home base right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
You know how they always say, like, oh, we never know who's going to get knocked off next on Lost, blah, blah, blah. You know, as actors, you guys can never really band together to be like, we want $1 million an episode. Because they could just... They'd be like, who started this crap? All right, you're out. Or do they know ahead of time, like, what the storyline needs to be of the show?
Well, I know that they've planned out at least a general arc for the show that goes about.
You guys are
going to
build an arc. That's a great idea. Yeah. Get off that rock.
That's the inside scoop right
smart.
There.
See, I know show business, people.
Yeah, that pawn.
Don't ever say Ace doesn't know show business. To everyone. Fantastic.
Let me ask you this, Jorge. And to take it in the spirit in which it's intended, a.k.a. this will be an offensive question.
Right.
No. What do you think? You know, George Clooney is the sort of guy, you know, before his star breaks, I'm sure he had no trouble making time with the ladies. Have you noticed a great spike in women throwing themselves at you in the last year or so?
No, not a great spike exactly.
But some movement on the bono meter?
I've been... part of the best things of moving to Hawaii was I also met a girl there. And so it's, you know, the show has paid off in
other
ways,
too. And her name is Michelle Rodriguez.
Wow. You met a native Hawaiian there?
Haole, born in Hawaii, yeah.
Wow.
But apparently she lived in L.A. the same time I did, but she ran in much cooler circles at that time.
Mm-hmm. Fate.
I ended up moving in right next door to her.
Nice. Mm. But have the good times gone through the roof since Michelle Rodriguez joined the cast? She of the several DUIs and so on and so forth, good time party girl?
I don't know. We were never, you know, we threw some good parties before she showed up. It's just,
Hey, is Dominic Monaghan and Evangeline Lilly really engaged? And if so, did they get engaged on set?
I have no idea.
Ha 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 ha. Another one of the secrets of Lost.
I'm angry because I've decided I don't like the cut of his jib and I love her. And I've decided that she is too good for him.
Are you making this evaluation based on their respective physical appearances?
I don't know. There's some couples I'll sign off on. You know, I'm fine with it.
No, me and Nick?
Yeah, you and Nick. Well, that's just because I don't care. I would be angry if I invested some time into you and your boyfriend. But I just don't. I have too much on my docket. But Monaghan and Evangeline Lilly, I've decided she's a beautiful, sweet little buttercup of a flower, and he's soiling her somehow. And by the way, my wife, about hour number three of these theories, begins to get angry at me when I get violent. Usually when I stand up and start yelling at the TV. She's too good for you. But don't you agree? She's too good for him.
He and his slick foreigner ways.
Yes.
I'm very good friends with Dominic.
Really? All right. Not just a little bit of a blowhard? A little bit. A little bit. A little bit. He came on Loveline one night, and I thought, a little bit of that. A little bit. Unlike the down-to-earth Jorge Garcia.
Great.
Yes.
He's a hobbit. I mean, what
yes,
do you expect?
Yeah.
What all do you right. want?
She's too good for him. That's all I'm saying. And another thing, too, is I know you guys are always waiting for the axe to clip you, but they can't clip any one of the core cast, really, anymore, can they? I mean, the show's had so much success. So many awards have been won. Can they do that? I mean, I can see them bringing people on for, you know, Ted McGinley could wash up on the shore for three episodes, and then he's out. He gets crushed by a boulder. But they can't take any one of the core and get rid of them, can they?
I don't know, because in the original pilot, Jack didn't make it to the end of the show.
And right, so now they can't get rid of Jack, right?
It feels like everyone's free game.
Well, I don't know what the plot is, but I can tell you one thing I do know, other than arcs, is if you start seeing like contract disputes and things like that with certain ones asking for more money, then you can start plotting their demise, because that's how it works. They will clip your ass if you want more money. Jorge, are you getting rich? Are you making a lot of money?
They put in the paper we all got raises for season 3.
Good.
And so that's kind of cool. That starts later.
Yeah, because you
that's how you found out?
I knew that, but you know, it's one thing, you know, knowing you're getting a raise in your job, but it's another thing when it ends up getting in the papers so the whole family knows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they want stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Family bug you for money.
A lot more Christmas pressure.
Yeah. Are they was it a sizable raise?
From where we started, yeah. Because a lot of us, this was like our first big big gig.
Find out the amount, would you, Brusque? I have too much dignity to ask Jorge to his face. But you go on the internet and find out the amount, and I'll gladly parrot it.
So I guess you guys only use, like, the Hollywood Reporter as one of your sources.
Well, whichever one's higher, whether it's a reporter, the drama log, whatever it is, whichever one's higher, that's the one we'll report.
Or just make up a gaudy figure.
Or make up a gaudy figure that makes him seem like an a-hole.
Yeah, cool.
Let's take ourselves a break. We'll play a little hypothetical question with Jorge Garcia from Lost after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Jorge Garcia is here from Lost. Jorge, I'm not only a fan of his work on Lost, but I love them as Jack from the Jack in the Box spot.
Yeah.
I tried to explain that to
Jack
a few people.
Imposter.
Yeah, and people didn't know what I was talking about. And it, to me, I was smitten by you long before these posers got on the bandwagon with Lost.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, Jack in the Box was the first time that I was getting, like, street recognition. People calling me Jack, you know, coming out of, like, the Virgin Megastore.
Yeah, I guess it's better than Where Are the Juggies? And Where's Dr. Drew? Those are my two ones. I wonder if anyone yells that at Dr. Drew. Where's Dr. Drew? That would you be confusing? Or Where the Juggies should be? No. Yeah. I only hope that people yell at Dr. Drew, where's Adam?
The unibrow?
Where's the brow? Yeah.
The Curb Your Enthusiasm, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Stellar work in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Which pretty much got me the meeting for Lost.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, our Angie Fitzsimmons, our producer, looked it up on the air. Out that George was getting $230,000 an episode. Wow.
Really?
Jorge, I should say.
Really?
Well, George and Jorge, the same name.
No, I thought the 230,000. I thought I just found some article that said like 80,000.
Yeah, it is 80,000. I just want him to seem like an a-hole. Because people will hate you. You know, that's the beauty. You could do the exact same work and get paid $5 an hour, or you could do the same job and get $500 an hour. They'll hate you if you're getting $500 an hour. Yeah, 80 an episode, not bad. How many episodes? 23?
26.
26?
Let's do the math.
Mm-mm.
A year?
Wow, that's about $2 million a year. Not bad.
Is it?
Sunbathing in the nude on the beach, getting $2 million. That and eating
boy.
Shaved ice
and
boy,
good at math.
Making yeah, yelling Val, go home. That's what you yell.
Val, go home.
Yeah, like they're from the valley. That's they used to do it like out here. You know, you want to keep it real. If you went out to Malibu or Zuma Beach, they didn't like the Vals coming.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Evidently, the only people that can surf are people who actually live in the ocean, according to surfers. If you live 4 miles away, that you're not welcome. I always like that one. Is there any dumber person than surfers?
I grew up in San Clemente.
Yeah, they're nobody dumber. Here's why surfers are the dumbest people on the planet. A, they have no education, because when the surf is in, you have to go surf and you must miss that day of school. You have to surf. Whatever it is you do for a living, when there's a swell, it must stop because surfing's a way of life. And it takes precedent over every other part of your life. Number one. Number two, I believe your mind is sort of, it is sort of marinated in this polluted, salty brine. You know what I mean? Like, you just, I don't know if there's bacteria that seeps in through your ears, but something about spending 9 hours a day in the ocean makes you dumb. And then surfing becomes your life. There is no thing outside of it. You talk about surfing, you hang out with other surfers, and these are the dumbest people on the planet.
I know. I hope your beloved Laird Hamilton isn't hearing these words right now.
He's a genius. How dare you? He's a big wave surfer. He's a toe-in surfer.
Adam's very much in love with Laird Hamilton.
Who wouldn't be? He's a good-looking man. He could be with Evangeline Lilly.
He could conquer you, Adam.
He has in my dreams many times. I would sign off on their love. I would. All right. 80 grand an episode, about $2 million a year. Not bad. You ready to play a little hypothetical question with us, Jorge?
I don't know, but we'll give it a shot.
All right. Well, really, there are no wrong answers.
Right.
There are no wrong answers. These are all hypothetical questions. You're driving across country. Now, let's make it further. You're driving from here to Hawaii.
Well, you can make it a Lost special edition, and who would you rather be stranded on an island
with? That's right. That's right. Yeah. Better than driving from here to Hawaii? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Trapped on an island.
Because then you also have to deal with the smells and stuff.
Right, right. No crew, no cast members. Nobody's there. Just you're on a deserted island. Okay. Now, who are you on with? I'll give you the A or B. You give me the hypothetical answer to my hypothetical question. Remember, there are no wrong answers.
Okay.
A male cheerleader or devout Scientologist?
Wow.
And it's not because they're both so great, I'm guessing. You're pausing.
No follow-up questions?
No.
A
or B?
I'm going to go with the Scientologist.
Sorry, that's wrong.
I'll tell you why the male cheerleader, because he's probably physically fit and can go and do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, but who wants to hear, here we come a trucking in 175 times a day?
You can only take someone's chipper.
Let's see, mid-20s online poker player guy. You know, that a-hole. Even though he's playing online, he's still wearing dark wraparound shades and a hat pulled down low. Or mid-70s bingo playing grandma.
Oh, man.
5 seconds.
These are lose-lose. well... Mid-70s.
I'm sorry.
Grandma.
I'm sorry. That's wrong. Again, there are no wrong answers. But that those two are wrong.
Just because, yeah, the grandma, you know, and then you'll get to be left alone sooner, I guess.
Let's just keep moving. She'll die. I see. Plus, you can eat her or do no God knows what with her corpse after she's gone. It gets lonely on that island. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's keep moving.
That's what you're into, Jorge. Great.
Woman, make a note of that, Preska. Woman who teaches seniors water aerobics at the Y. You know, where they put those weird underwater weight things on. Or strip club DJ.
I'm going to have to just go with woman. The woman, based on that.
Yeah, you know what? You're correct on this one. Because that guy would just talk your ear off the entire time. The only thing good about, you know, strip club DJ, we give a pass because we associate him with naked women. But as soon as you remove naked women from the equation, you got the fat guy with the fanny pack. And you don't want to talk to that guy.
Right, he might know their real names.
Right. And this brings us to the next one because he is the guy who would use this phrase. And this is one of two guys you'll have to decide over. Is it at the end of the day, the guy who says at the end of the day inexplicably every 10 minutes when he's talking, or the guy who says, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you?
Three
seconds.
I'm going to go with the kill you guy.
Sorry, wrong. Now, I'll tell you why.
Days go long.
The end of the day guy probably has a little more education and can probably help you craft a raft or something to get off the island.
Yeah, Jorge's head is swinging. He's not even focused anymore. He's thinking about what he's going to do with that dead old lady.
Yeah, the end of the day guy has no idea when it's 6 o'clock, so he doesn't know when to stop the end of the day so the sun goes down.
Yeah, I mean, you have a sundial when it's up. All right, last one. Spike Lee or a dead possum. Think about it. There's some sustenance in the dead possum, I might add.
Spike Lee.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. You'd rather be on an island with a dead possum. Jorge, I want to thank you for playing. Should I even tell people to watch Lost? Don't you think you guys are, you know, gathering enough of the viewers?
Dare them not to.
I dare you not to watch Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock on ABC. And are you doing Kimmel tonight?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, if you don't watch Lost, what do you talk about on Thursday?
Yeah, that's right. No water cooler talk.
Right.
Where is our water cooler? You always talk about the water cooler talk. Where's the water cooler?
We could have some interesting conversations.
It's all bottles now.
Yeah. All right. So are you doing Kimmel tonight?
Yeah.
So is that going to be on tonight then?
I assume so.
Yeah. That was a stupid question to ask you. You don't know. You're just on tonight.
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. Are you guys going up against the Grammys on Wednesday?
Is
there a new episode?
We're a new episode Wednesday.
Well, they're going to do a musical Lost. Yeah, that's what I hear. Jorge told me he didn't say anything.
Speaking of Grammy, Jorge's going to go pick up a dead old lady right now.
That's right. Take her to his island. Jorge Garcia, everyone, Lost Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock ABC, and watch him on the great Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. 12:05 on ABC, and we'll be right back after this.
For listening to the Adam Carolla Show, call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM. Thank you very much.
That's right. 866-901-ADAM. Well, we got some news coming up. We got some sports coming up. Theoretically, our friend Elise from U.S. Air, who I had a spirited debate with yesterday, is going to call back in because I am going to design a station for the radio air station, a sleeping one. First, something that I just saw at home. I had a little notepad at home and one of those little 3x5 little things that they give you. And it has pictures on it of animals. You guys can see there's a picture of a lobster, a picture of a bunny rabbit. And I was just writing stuff down on it, and I was reading some facts. Facts about lobsters. They engage in a prolonged flirting ritual that, and then a week of lovemaking with what scientists call poignant gentleness. And I thought, well, that's a creepy and weird. I don't like to think about animals having sex. I don't like to think about my parents having sex or animals having sex. Those are the two things I don't like to think about having sex. And then I got along to the next one, and I had a little fact about rabbits. Rabbits will softly grind their molars in a way that makes them sound like like a purring cat. I thought, all right, well, that's nice. Next one was penguins. And then it started getting interesting. More than 450 species of animals have been documented as having homosexual pairs, including grizzly bears, flamingos, which, no duh, salmon and penguins. And I thought, well, what the hell? Salmon and penguins? And they're, oh, PETA. This is PETA's thing. This is why. You're not gonna eat that gay bear, are you? And I realized this is why you can't listen to anybody. Here's another fact about goldfish. Goldfish remember things that happened months ago, talk to each other through low frequency sounds, and learn by watching other fish. Really? Do you think goldfish talk and remember things that happened that I can't remember anymore? You know how that goes? Or is this just more propaganda? But gay grizzly bears, goldfish talking back and forth.
Yes. Like the American grizzlies. You know about grizzlies.
Yeah. I saw them on that.
The gay men that like to.
Yeah. Yeah, they're bears.
Large, hairy men.
Jimmy Kimmel's a huge fan, or I should say they're big fans of Kimmel. Any husky guy with hair on their back, they're huge bear fans of, and they have magazines. But I don't know if that, you think that grizzly bear in the Bud Light commercial for the Super Bowl was gay?
Duh, yeah.
Yeah,
see the way he was giving the eye to the guy after
that's
the other
true,
guy stole the
but
beer?
I spoke to his publicist, and he said he was straight.
Yogi was straight.
I can't believe
boo-boo.
That.
You think boo-boo?
Both ways.
Boo-boo gay?
The B stands for both ways, yeah.
No, I was thinking about this a few months ago. Is there anything creepier? Yogi Bear wore a collar, a tie, and a hat, and nothing else. Could you imagine a human with that as their outfit? I mean, worse than naked, obviously. Just Brusca coming in with a collar, tie, and a hat.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than seeing a man naked with only a t-shirt on. Like,
yeah, that is creepy.
From the waist down.
It is, unless you're Big Tad, in which case you fall to your knees and thank Christ he's wearing that t-shirt. But it is a little bit of a creepy look. All right, we have at least, but I just was reading this and I thought, well, here's a group that doesn't want you to eat these animals, so obviously you're gonna cook up this stuff where lobsters hang out, they play bridge together, they mourn the loss of their brothers, they, were involved in the raid on Entebbe. You know what I mean? So you go, oh, geez, I feel bad throwing them into the boiling
lobsters,
pot.
Lobsters don't have sex. They make love.
They make love. Week-long. Maybe they're like Sting. Tantric sex. prolonged. And I like how the scientist describes it as sort of gentle. And yeah, lobster. There's no lobster rape. Yes. Prolonged gentleness. Poignant gentleness is how he describes it.
That's scientists. Yes, yeah. The scientists have determined that that's what it is. That's right.
Sting, who, by the way, is suing some chauffeur who told, like, the media that his marriage to Trudy Styler is a sham. Just read that today.
Wow. Well, I hope they break up so we can find out what LL Cool J thinks about it. That's what I want to know, his take. Elise?
Yes, good morning.
Elise is from U.S. Air.
U.S. Airways.
Airways.
Thank you.
She is the VP of communications. Let me ask you something, Elise, because Brusk always writes your name, E-L-I-S-E, and then phone screener Brian always writes E-L-Y-C-E, which is always confusing. How do you spell it?
E-L-I-S-E.
All right. Could you knock it off, Brian?
Well,
normally you do the crazy spelling because some crazy broad decides this is the way it's going to be spelled because her dad molested her and this is an FU to him. But when your own phone screener starts doing it. Okay. So, Elise, we spoke to you yesterday.
Brassy.
She's a brassy lady. We spoke to you yesterday about the music on the airline, right?
We did speak about that, yes.
And we decided that even though you have 14 stations which you program and pre-program, none of them are dedicated to sleeping.
Some are more conducive to sleeping for a short period, but as you pointed out, there's a guy that talks between the songs. Sometimes
right.
The songs catch the up-tempo, correct.
Yes, you can sleep for between 4 and 6 minutes, and then Winchester pops on and delivers this eulogy.
That, of course, was Air on the G String from Johann Sebastian Bach's Orchestral Suite in D, scored for four-part string orchestra. His brief movement, jazz, lyric melody, quiet counterpoint, and the masterful orchestration.
Hey!
Poetic sense.
Waitress, or air waitress, or whatever.
He's arranged for violin solo and
piano. This Dubonnet's not going to refill itself. Let's go.
Wilhelm.
Thirsty, what happened to lunch?
The entire solo part.
I missed it? Well, heat it up, baby. That's why they call it a microwave. This is first class. Let's get it going. What do you got there?
Wilhelm called it air.
Is that the Sunday cart? Give me one of those, too. All right, that's what...
Classic in the air.
That's what happens. Instead...
Adam is a rough waker-upper, by the way.
Yes.
Sounds like
snorting,
it.
Spitting.
I didn't even do the breaking of the wind. That was I did the silent but deadly on that one. All I'm saying is you guys could save a few million dollars a year if people would just sleep the entire time they're on the plane, but nobody has figured this out. How many airlines are there currently? Do you know?
Oh, there's probably 10 major airlines in the country, or 6 major, and another 6 low cost, so let's call it 12.
Right, and between them, they all program 10 or 15 of their own radio stations, and not one of them has thought of this. The number one thing you want your passengers to do is fall asleep on your airplane so you don't have to deal with them, and not a one out of the 14 ones that they pre-program is conducive to sleeping. You have country, you have Western, you have rap, you have golf talk, you have everything but sleeping.
But that's all about to change.
That's
why?
Right, because the Ace Man was born.
Something like that.
Yeah. And what about that part where you guys stop with the tampering with, disabling, or destroying the smoke
don't
detector?
Don't go down there. Don't, you know what?
I'm going to have to talk to an attorney who represents your airline as well.
Do you know there's different degrees of murder? There's manslaughter. There's first degree,
right.
Second degree, same thing on the damn smoke detectors, okay? There's different degrees of tampering with, disabling, or actually destroying it.
Explain something. You don't think destroying falls under the tampering umbrella?
I think there's different degrees of damage you can do to the smoke detector, and quite frankly, they're all bad.
All right, so let me give you one scenario. Hold on a second. Right. Now you've got me going.
Come on.
If the stewardess just said, or the flight attendant, whatever you're euphemistically calling yourselves these days, if they just said, look, no tampering with the smoke detector in the lavatory, and I took a baseball bat to it and destroyed it, you don't think I could be prosecuted?
You're going to get in more trouble if you take the baseball bat to it than you are for just tampering with it.
Right, but still tampering covers everything. I could use telepathy and tamper with it. You understand? I would never have to physically touch it.
Yes, only you could use telepathy and tamper with that smoke detector.
All right. I'm just saying, let's get rid of that long-winded
thing.
I like this tough-talking dame.
I know. She knows she's wrong, but she fights anyway.
I
would say that that sign is on your side because you're the one that's always complaining about people getting off on things on a technicality.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't say everything, they just want to make sure nobody's getting off on a technicality. Well, I didn't technically tamper.
Right. I'm just saying, if you tamper means you cannot alter or touch in a negative way. That's what it means.
We do cover all bases using all three words. Good point.
All right. And by the way, do you guys use cockpit or do you use flight deck?
Flight deck.
I like the way they subtly changed that one.
Yeah.
Why name the place where the pilots are after a gay bar? Let's just call it the flight deck. Yeah. All right. So, the other thing I'd like to address is in the airports. Now, you're obviously not in charge of the airport, but you have some vote over there. I want all airports to become international waters. I say booze should be flowing 24/7, and it should really just be like one of those barges that's parked off the coast where it's legal to gamble. It is an international airport. You tell a guy who gets off a flight from Tokyo, it's 4 a.m. to him, he wants a cocktail when he gets off the plane. He can't do it. We don't serve before 10 a.m. What do you mean? There's no time in an airport. It's like the Twilight Zone, right?
Yeah, you know, people do really crazy things when they drink alcohol, so I don't know if we want to booze people up 24 hours a day before we send them off on a tube of metal at 35,000 feet for a couple hours.
You're calling your own plane a tube of metal.
It is what it is.
Fiery cigar tube. What a spokesman. All right, so how am I going to be able to program this radio station?
All right, listen, here's what we're doing. You did have a great idea. Even I hate to admit that you had a good idea.
Thank you.
But the sleep channel's good. We want you to give us some suggestions. You know, I don't know what you want to hear. Waterfalls, crickets chirping, ocean sounds.
Mm.
thunderstorm in the middle of a rainforest, or maybe just light classical music. Send us in some of your song ideas. We will get a channel up for, the main June cycle.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play beautiful classical music for about the first 20 minutes. How much time do I have before it loops?
About 90 minutes.
90 minutes, an hour and a half, and then it loops. It'll loop again. So I'm going to start off with this music, okay? And I'm going to do about 44 minutes of that, and then I'm going to tell a long-winded high school football story in the middle. Now just stick with me. The first time people hear it, it'll be compelling. Wow, with no, just two ticks left on the clock, you intercepted it and took it to the house. It'll wake them up the first time. I'm not going to lie to you. But the second, the third, because I've tested this with my wife, the fourth, the fifth time they hear the same long-winded high school football story, they'll go even deeper. You'll have to wake them up and drag them off the plane. You'll drag their lifeless corpse off the plane.
Okay.
You have to dump water on them to bring them back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I like the crickets better.
Well, okay, so we'll go. I'm also thinking a little babbling brook.
Oh, I like that.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine, everybody, imagine this utopia. You get onto a flight, it's 6 hours, you caught the red eye, it's the middle of the night, you worked a full day, you're exhausted, you sat in traffic on the shuttle on the way in, and all of a sudden you put those headphones on and you just drift away. Beautiful babbling brook. Soft.
Use the restroom.
You'll be sleeping so hard, you will not only go number one in your pants, you'll go number two as well.
Okay.
That's what I said.
That's nice. That's what we want.
Right. All right. Oh, what a windfall. And let me tell you this. First off, you can remove one flight attendant from each national flight, each domestic flight, in three from international. Wait, do you guys fly international?
We do.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
All right. You can remove three from international flights. I will save the company single-handedly. I will save them millions of dollars a year, and all gratis. Pro bono.
No. Get us all free flights.
How about some free flights?
Oh, yeah, free flights. Wait, look, we're not trying to remove flight attendants, and quite frankly, we won't be removing flight attendants.
But they will be able to focus on safety, their primary job.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of what they're doing now, which is explaining to me they're out of the salmon.
Right.
And here's how about this?
The gay and straight salmon, all gone.
How about this? Here's all I ask for. How about a preemptive strike, a little honesty? When I get onto the plane and make my way to the back of the first class section, have the stewardess come up to me and say, Mr. Corolla, what would you like to be eating for dinner? I'll say the salmon, and she'll say, we will be out of that.
Well,
so we don't have to go.
Row one, and that way you get your choice right off the bat.
How about you guys put enough on for everybody to have salmon?
That sounds wasteful to me.
You know, $2,800 for a $300 flight sounds wasteful for me.
$2,800, is that really what you paid?
Well, the reality is if you're flying, to New York, first class is like $3,000-$4,000 as opposed to coach.
Not anymore.
How much? How much is it?
It depends on when you book it, but it's certainly not $3,000 or $4,000. Although, perhaps, if you walked up to the counter right now today, you might pay that.
Well, how much? Let's say I book it 2 months in advance. How much does it cost?
You could probably get a ticket for $500-$600.
First class?
Sure.
Well, that's first class on your airline. But, I mean, if you're flying a real airline, how much does it cost?
Well, you're going to be flying our airline because we're going to have the only sleep channel
out there. That's right, baby doll. You see? That's what I was looking for.
You better be on the damn flight.
All right, Elise. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You two are like Hepburn and Tracy.
She's
30,000 feet in the sky. I love it. She's a tough broad. You're a wisecracking dude.
I
like it.
We might find some love. Are you single, gal?
No, I'm not single. Neither are you.
Oh. All right, but then if we're both... okay, my wife's probably listening. But there's a math, I guess. Anyway, thank you, Elise. We'll be in contact, and you'll say the next recording session is done in May at some point?
Well, we will be recording in April to have this on the airplane, actually, for the May and June cycle. So I'm excited about it,
actually. All right. Thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
You bet.
All right. God love you. Godspeed. You know, it'd be funny if I just played Girls, Girls, Girls and did my strip club DJ. Just completely did a bait and switch on. Hey, Candy, coming to the stage. Sure, you're pretty. Hey, quit your grin and drop your linen. Okay. Sheila, stage four. They always do a little business in there. All right, ready to take they're part traffic cop and they're part carnival barker. You know, there's part of them that is that's getting the guys. Do you have any rock music at all? Do you have anything?
I'm looking
for it. All right, play anything. They have to do a little business. You know, they have to bring the girls to the stage. They have to get the guys whipped up. They have to get everyone excited. On the other hand, it's also sort of a public address system where they have a little business to take care of because they are sort of a little...
Girls on film.
All right, all right. See, the problem with Mike is so good he doesn't have any bad music. What's the rock in a song you got
You got
in that?
Def Leppard?
Yeah, let me get some
Who in there?
Who?
Def Leppard, that Pour Some Sugar on Me. You got that?
Yeah.
They wrote that for strippers.
I know. I think this serves your purposes pretty well. Girls on film?
It's not bad. It's not bad. All right, we're going to take a break? Oh, wait, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Turn it up.
Yeah, gentlemen, welcome to Key Club. Japanese businessman's lunch, 3 to 6 o'clock. Well, drinks coming in 2 for 1. Look at the main stage. That's Turquoise doing her thing. Come on, guys. Do not be jealous. Oh, she's shaking her mouth. She's moving out there. Brandy, stage 4, Brandy. Hey, look at her. Could you get it up your lid out there? Come on, fellas. Show you appreciate it. Deep deal. I'm fat. I got a little chin, but I got this little beard that's carved in. It makes me look like I have a chin and a ponytail and a leather fanny pack. I'll be out in the parking lot offering Coke to the strippers about 3 a.m. saying if one of them can take me home. Brandy, stage 4, Brandy. That's right, Marty, my bud. I tell you, but I have to kill you. This close to dropping trowel myself. That's good stuff, man. She's hot, fellas. All right, 2 for 1, well drank. All right, that'd be funny if I did provide them with that instead of my classical music. All right, let's take ourselves...
You've been to a strip club before, I guess, huh?
I have, and... Those guys are so grating, but you overlook it because you're distracted. But if they would just get rid of them, it'd be nice. I'd like to open a strip club that says, you know, it's like the stereo shop that says our salespeople don't work on commission. No pushy salespeople. I would like to open a strip club called No DJ. And you just go in there and you get to hear your Def Leppard. You get to hear your Cherry Pie by Warrant, but there's no guy going, hey, fellas. That guy. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Uh-oh, wait a minute. There's a surfer from the OC that's angry at me for calling them all dumb. Hold on a second. Sean?
Hey, is this Adam?
What's happening, Sean?
Hey, you know what? I was starting to feel pretty crummy. You know, you're talking bad on surfers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started to realize that you were right. I just lied to my boss and told him I was going to school today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm on the 5 South going to surf.
Right. There's a swell.
Yes, there is. And I'm sitting next to an unemployed guy who sells various things in the side time.
Right.
And he just wants to give you a little reminder, Adam.
Yes. All right.
Speak to the man.
Okay. So
I want to do surf, skate, and smash a smoothie every now and again.
Okay, thank you. Touche, you say. I was saying all surfers are incredibly dumb, and no one ever really thinks about it. But once you announce that surfing is a way of life, and you'll leave your job or leave your school when a swell blows in, and you just spend all day soaking in polluted salt water, you just... And when you're done surfing, all you do is talk about surfing and think about surfing. How could you get any dumber, if you think about it? Nobody ever really thinks about that. Who is dumber than surfers? There are any people dumber than surfers?
Tad.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, at least they know how to surf.
Oh, he'd have to surf on a garage door. There's nothing that could hold
Tad
him
sometimes
up.
Forgets how to walk.
Yeah. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back after this.
This is Paul Gilmartin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Oh, the other thing I forgot about my argument as to why surfers were so stupid. They smoke a ton of weed.
Is that right?
Yes, they have zero emphasis on education, and all the emphasis they have is on a bong. But listen, surfers, don't call up and give me a hard time. Here's the deal. You guys get laid more than any other group, especially amongst idiots. I mean, if you really take dumb people don't get... Look at Big Tad over here. 2 years plus in the making. Normally, if you're a blockhead, you don't get laid. You get laid tons, and you spend your life, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, you've had a great life.
What was that at the end of the day?
At the end of the day. I know I said I don't like when people use that, but I do mean it. I do mean it literally. At the end, when it's over.
Which day? Today?
Yes.
At
when
the
it's
end of the
over,
day, what's going to happen?
You have smoked some weed, you have surfed, and you've gotten laid, and you've paid no rent.
Well, I only hope all those things happen by the end of today. What?
I'm just going to leave you alone with the sound of your own voice for a while.
Okay. Maybe I'll just read the news.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Rachel Perry.
In the news, I love the sound of my own voice. Oh. La, la, la.
You got to check for carbon monoxide in that studio.
Thousands have lined up. Oh, funny funeral. Thousands have lined up to attend the funeral of Coretta Scott King in Georgia. Pictures of Britney Spears driving on the PCH yesterday with her baby in her lap are pissing people off. Angry.
Yeah.
Endangering the Federline baby.
Well, especially that baby who's going to be going to have the cure for cancer and AIDS. You know what I mean? We can't let that golden child go down in a car wreck. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah. I circled the globe 5 times standing on my dad's seat of his Volkswagen Bug and hanging my head out the sunroof. What's up today? My nephews came over last weekend. We had to we wrapped them in bubble tape and put them in a safe and put that safe in a child seat and then duct taped that to the back of the SUV. So it's like crazy with kids transporting kids all of a sudden. It's like we're dragging the president around. There should just be armored cars now. Eventually we'll put the child seat in the armored car and then we'll put that on a flatbed and get a motorcade, bring the kid into the gymboree. That's how we'll do it. I say it's up to the parent. You want your kid outside of the car? It's your business. That's how Pops Corolla did it.
What are you going to do with your kids?
I will not have my, I love, you know, as you know, my cars are my family. I mean, they're my children. And I won't have one of my kids crapping up the car. I won't have one of my kids, you know, doing the spittle and bringing up the bile and everything. So when the kid gets old enough so he's not doing that, I'll be able to put him in the car. Until then, he'll be dragged behind the
car. So your cars are your kids, and your actual kids are sort of like your unruly friends.
No, they're my cars. I just flipped it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'll be driving my kid. This kid's leaking. Let's check those gaskets. Check his pan gasket, would you, sweetie? Take him down to Amco, AA.
Ready for it.
Hong Kong. All right. MCO, everybody. What else?
After days of protests over cartoons depicting the Muslim prophet Muhammad, Iran's best-selling newspaper is holding a contest for the best cartoon about the Holocaust to test the boundaries of free speech. Mm. I was thinking about this. Why are these cartoons making people angry? You know what? Bad cartoons. I was reading Garfield today.
That's a bad cartoon.
It's bad, and it made me angry.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, so Garfield is like sitting there dejectedly looking at a spider, and the Garfield says, "How's it going?" And the spider says, "Terrible." And then the next block, the spider says, "I have a splitting headache." And then Garfield says, "Then here." And then in the next block, there's a giant bottle of aspirin that has crushed the spider.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, funny. I know. What about us atheists who want to laugh?
I want to go protest something.
Go throw a Molotov cocktail somewhere.
The only thing that's worse than a bad cartoon, and if you open the newspaper and you look at some of the, if anyone's seen Charlie Brown, let's say, Peanuts in the last 65 years, you realize nothing's ever funny. And here's my whole thing. If you don't have anything good, picture of a missing kid. That's my policy. Anyone who's a cartoonist who does a cartoon and has to come out with something every day, obviously it's too tall an order for you. Because the idea that you have something funny every 15th year is not a great batting average. If you don't have anything good, don't just print it and waste my time. Just put a picture of a missing kid. The editor's not going to bother you. But the only thing worse than this is somebody who thinks it's funny. This is my grandmother. Every time I go to her house, she clips something out of the New Yorker. I thought this was so clever. What is it? Oh, look, look. I thought this was clever. I thought you would enjoy this. Let me see. There's a cat that's on his therapist's sofa. And he says, I can't stop dreaming about yarn. I thought this was so clever. Look at the cat. He's going to a therapist. All right, Granny. Thank you. And by the way, that's what you think of my sense of humor? I'll immediately go home and tape it to my refrigerator. Yes. All right.
And, of course, the 48th Annual Grammy Awards will be happening tomorrow. Alicia Keys and David LaChapelle are going to be two of the... Dave Chappelle.
That's right.
Is going to be one of the presenters. U2 is performing with Mary J. Blige, Jay-Z and Linkin Park, Mariah, John Legend, Jamie Foxx, and Kanye West are performing together. Madonna's performing with the Gorillaz, who are one of the artists up for Record of the Year. I'm just going to run down, play a little clip from some of the Record of the Year nominees. Mm-hmm. First one being Mariah Carey, We Belong Together.
I'm down with Mariah. I mean, not musically, but from a cleavage standpoint. She's always shaking her cans, and I like that. She knows where her bread is buttered, yes? Mm, how say you, Mariah's bosom?
Yay!
All right.
And, of course, the Gorillaz, the cartoon band featuring De La Soul, Feel Good, Inc.
Windmill, windmill for the night.
Is this the Gorillaz?
Yes.
Yeah. Hate those guys. They were on Loveline once. They're like, what?
There's some cartoons that are going to cause some protesting and uprising.
They have that British band syndrome. They're either great, the greatest guys in the world, or they're like blur. Just a-holes. All right.
They are blur.
Are they?
Well, yes. It is.
Half of them are blur? How many of them are blur?
Isn't
the front man of blur?
Front guy. Right. Oh, that's why him.
It was an ironic coincidence.
Yeah, I must have known that somewhere in my recesses. What else?
Boulevard of Broken Dreams from Green Day.
I like Green Day.
Which, by the way, this album, this is the only category that they're up for because this song was just that popular. They won all their other Grammy Awards for that album last year, American Idiot.
They're a really good live band. I mean, if anyone's seen Green Day live, you'll be impressed. If you're sort of a moderate Green Day fan, if you go see them live, you will be a huge Green Day fan.
They're excellent live. They will do that thing where they bring, like, people out of the audience up on stage and, like, have them all learn a song on stage and then they play it. It's awesome.
Right. But then they do that for their entire set now, which is bothersome. Green Day doesn't even show up anymore. This is the guy from the last venue.
Gwen Stefani's nominated for Holla Back Girl.
I don't get this song.
I don't get any of this new stuff with the kids here. I miss the old band. I do. I like the ska. I like the horns. I miss that.
I love this album. I thought it was fantastic.
Really? You like this song?
Yeah, I really do.
What do you do to that song? I mean, you can
shake it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, do you sort of kibitz around your house and have that playing, or do you just have to be on the dance floor or humping to enjoy it?
Dude, I get wasted.
Yeah.
And I dance.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to hear.
Also up for Record of the Year, finally, Kanye West and Gold Digger. I don't think I could ever need to hear this song ever again, though. It's fantastic, but please.
I need to hear this one again about as much as I need to hear. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your... it's getting so hot, I'm going to take my clothes off. Yeah, he just said that, you jackass. To repeat exactly what he said. Yeah, I don't need to hear that either. But please give Kanye West some Grammys so we don't have to hear him up there screaming about deserving the Grammy and not winning it.
I want him to get a Grammy just so I can hear him say something tomorrow night. I want him to speech
about black people.
Well, he'll say something anyway you slice it. But yeah, it would be nice if it was up there in front of the entire audience.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I'm Rachel Perry, and that's it for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it.
Dave.
NBA last night. Suns lose at home to the T-Wolves. Golden State wins at home against the Nuggets. NHL, Anaheim and San Jose, both losers. But on the bright side for the Sharks, and for me, my favorite named player in the entire sport of hockey, Jonathan Chychrun. Scored a goal. The ratings are out for the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 40. It's, by the way, day three of the Steelers' reign as rulers of the football world. The ratings are out for the Super Bowl, second highest rated show in the history of American television behind MASH.
That makes it the highest rated Super Bowl ever, obviously.
Yes.
Wow.
According to what I've read this morning. Yes.
Interesting.
And in specifically in Pittsburgh, where the Super Bowl was, of course, where the Steelers are from.
Oh.
If I haven't mentioned.
Did you just look that up?
83% of the TV sets that were on during the Super Bowl were tuned to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, you know, the even the article, you know, remarkable. What were the other 17% of the team? What was going on? What were they tuned into? These people weren't off in a museum. They were watching TV.
What is the populace or the population of the area?
I believe around 300,000, let's call it.
Live there.
In the city of Pittsburgh, yeah.
So that means there were fully, I don't know, 25,000 people that weren't watching the game.
But we're in their homes.
But did have the TV on. Yes.
What
this? Let me tell you something. When I'm in charge, we'll have ways of figuring out who did this. I'll use the NSA. We'll hunt them down.
And they will be eliminated.
Well, we don't want them reproducing.
Here.
Yes.
And Mike Piazza made it official yesterday. He was introduced at a press conference as the new catcher for the San Diego Padres. And I believe we have a soundbite of that.
Hi, how you doing?
This is all I wanted to. This is the only thing that really brings me happy.
What?
I'm going to be there the day you walk.
That sounded like Richard Simmons.
Wow, it did. Wow, they sound a lot alike.
I think I hit the wrong thing. Let me try that again.
I have a special delivery.
Now that was it. I mean, he's a statuesque guy. He's like
six. Yeah, he's a large man, yeah. You wouldn't think he'd sound that way.
Was that definitely?
Hi, how you doing?
This is all I wanted to. This is the only thing that really
at least he sounds pleasant, I guess.
Yeah. Sounds affable, yeah.
Anyway, well, I mean, that's that. So welcome to San Diego, Mike Piazza.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We have another contribution from Rich Banks from Phoenix. It's our speaking of Grammys, by the way. This is the Ace Man show. He does our theme songs, or does many of the songs, sends them in, some good, some bad, but the latest batch was wonderful. Let's hear this latest one, shall we, Mike?
Rachel Perry, she's a piece of ass and a tattooed Canadian. They got me. The number one sports report. It's the Ace Man Show. It's the Ace Man Show.
Listen, I feel sorry for the guys who have to back him up. I have no idea what he's doing.
Monday through Friday. It's the Ace Man Show.
Sis, get in the garage. Stop asking questions.
Ted and Mike August, who can't seem to ever score.
His neighbors have to be pissed, too. For the love of Christ, it's 2 a.m. Who is the Ace Man? Could you go to bed already? I know you don't have a job to go to in the morning, so you could stay up all night. Could you please just limit it to when the street lights are on?
Maybe your new U.S. Airways channel on the dial that you're creating could feature that music instead.
That's smart. Drop in my own theme-based song.
Right.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We will be back. Yeah. I'll plug the website, Mike, after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yes, you is. Well, not much time left, but I think just enough time to roll out something we've been working on for a while and just haven't had the right opportunity, but I think now is good. Oh, without a big long setup, we just thought it'd be funny if heavyweight champ James Lights Out Tony dispensed a little advice on the radio show. So we came up with this.
And now it's time for free advice from James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, I am 5 months pregnant with my second baby. At a recent family wedding, my husband's 40th cousin came up to me and touched my stomach. I instinctively shooed her hands away. Well, she was offended and burst into tears. I apologized, although I thought it was very rude and that she should have apologized to me. What do you say, Martha in the Midwest?
Dear Martha, your husband's cousin should have asked if you minded before putting her hands on your stomach. Under the circumstances, your reaction was normal. After the baby arrived, this incident will be forgotten, as it should be. Sometimes a dose of amnesia can have a positive effect on a family relationship. You know what? Everything happens in playfulness. It probably was an accident. Hope you get over it.
Free advice. From James, lights out, Tony.
135 pounds, scrawny Mike Lynch. And next time he goes off on his own sort of jag at the end, please cut him off.
Will do.
Yeah. Explain to him respectfully that we're not interested in your own damn opinion. Just stick to the script, James.
Not just a formidable pugilist, James Tony, but also a heavyweight with relationship.
Yeah, the wordsmith as well. Yeah. It dispenses the relationship advice. All right. Pat O'Brien is going to be in here tomorrow. We're going to give away some Grammy tickets tomorrow. So we'll look forward to that. I want to thank Jorge Garcia from Lost for coming in here Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock ABC. Frank Caliendo as John Madden. He's going to be at the Crest Theater in Sacramento Saturday, February 18th. Go to frankcaliendo.com for more info. Kristen Cavallari from, well, you know her from The Real OC, but Let's Get This Party Started premieres tonight at 9 p.m. on UPN. And Elise Eberwein. Do I really have to thank her? I'm doing her a favor. Programming a radio station for free for... Okay. U.S. Airways. Everyone fly those U.S. Airways. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.